Well, don't. Are we on now?
Yeah, just now. Just started recording.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Last week I was having a, or 2 weeks ago I was having a crappy week. So I decided I was just going to drink beer without you guys.
Instead of just listening to us while you drink beer?
Well, I get to talk to you for like 5 minutes, you know, in the early part.
And then everyone else
joins
in.
And then
just
listen to you guys, yeah.
Yeah. Starts talking about Doctor Who or
right
whatever.
Or Walking Dead.
Yeah. You don't watch The Walking Dead either?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I would. I probably.
Zombies scare you?
I like Walking Dead. Oh, what is this? I just missed a call. Well, I'll have to see what it is tomorrow or a little bit later when I get a voice message from someone in the 503 area code.
Where's 503?
Portland.
Oh, okay.
So, interesting.
Is it something you might need to take now?
I missed the call already.
Well, do you have the voicemail yet?
No, I'm looking on the Google.
You got Google Voice?
Yeah.
Or are you just looking up the telephone number on Google Voice? Or on Google?
I have Google Voice.
That's what I do sometimes. I look up the telephone number before I answer it, if I have to use it on my computer. Maybe it's
it's probably Voodoo Donut saying, hey, haven't
where
seen
have you
in
been?
A while.
Yeah.
You should come back, buy a donut.
Or a relative. You now have lots of relatives that live out there.
I do. In fact, I had a relative here from Portland over the holiday weekend.
Who was that?
My mother-in-law.
Oh.
My Australian mother-in-law from Portland.
Is she really Australian?
She is.
Did I meet her at your wedding?
Yeah.
I mean, did I meet her at your wedding?
Yeah. She was Jen's mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how
remember?
That worked? I don't know if I do remember, to be honest with you.
She's petite, blonde.
How's her rack?
I don't think I want to even think about that.
I do.
Did you say, how is Iraq?
I
haven't been there for a while.
For a while. As though you've been out there several times.
You don't know. You just don't know, sir. You, sir, don't know.
You don't know where my job takes me. It's all a cover.
I say that it's a major insurance company in the United States of America, but that might just be not the truth.
I was just going to say something, now I can't remember what it was.
What do you think about a thug podcast?
That sounds like a great idea.
On Thursday.
We should do one at some point.
I think,
seeing as I'm about to do 60 of them in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was wondering how that was, you spooling up for that?
We've got, 40 days as we record this.
Really?
Until 60 days. Yeah, because there's only 100 days left till Dragon Con.
Sheesh.
And hopefully the main man's going to be on. That's what I've been promised several times.
Santa?
Yes, Santa.
Man.
No, Satan.
Santa's my favorite.
So I've been promised that a couple times. So we'll see. In fact, hold on. Let me see if I can get the person online that has promised me that.
You know, I was going to ask her a question.
Well, she'll be here in just a second, so you can ask her.
But I don't know if she'll want it, podcasted.
Well, just tell Widge. He can take it out.
Yeah, he'll do it in post, right?
Right. All the editing that he does.
Yep.
Yeah, because Widge does so much editing. Hi, guys.
Serve had a question. He wasn't sure if he wanted to podcast it or not, so.
Probably not. So what's up?
So,
Widge, at this point is where you make that edit.
Right here. So,
ow.
Lee,
ow.
Being the track director of X-Track.
Yep.
Currently.
Do you feel... Feels probably not the right word. Do you believe that X-Track is still the appropriate name for your track?
No, I really don't, but I don't know what the fuck else to call it.
The sex track.
No, thank you.
Oh, no, wait, you got rid of that particular one.
It's kind of become that kind of idea of that's about paranoia and things of that nature, government conspiracies and stuff like that. So that's kind of why we've kept it. If I could come up with another name, I would do it in a minute. But what is it? Do I call it the conspiracy track? Well, it's not all about conspiracies.
No.
We want to believe track.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. But, you know.
Even then, because you're kind of broadened your scope a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And frankly, by the way, and I don't know, do you think this really needs to not be podcast? I don't think this is anything offensive.
I don't know. I just didn't know how she would...
No, I don't take it as negative. I mean, it's actually been something David and I have talked about, David Gordon, my senior director. And we've talked about it. And the question I keep coming up with is, what else do I call it? I mean, I can't... Paranoia track just sounds like we all need meds.
Right. And it's not...
Conspiracy track doesn't really go into everything. It's not really government. I don't know what the... Yeah. And that's why it's not the X-Files track for a very specific reason, because it's not just about the X-Files.
So. Right,
well, and the fact that there hasn't been a show for...
12 years?
Yeah. And frankly, Lee, I mean, you are taking... Right. This sounds like a great idea for like a series of podcasts that should be done around the time the Dragon Con's coming up. Frankly...
Really?
Yeah, sounds like... maybe we should do something about that. Anyway, so the... frankly, you're taking everything that kind of doesn't fall into someplace else. I mean, I know you have some parameters, but...
Yeah, and I am trying to... I mean, I think that's the other issue, too, because I think that... And this isn't trying to step on anybody's toes or anything else. I think there are parameters for each of the tracks. I mean, and some of us work really well together in figuring that out. I mean, it was absolutely no problem for Derek, the horror track, and I, who's now horror track, before he was Dark Fantasies, he and I had to talk about it. And I was like, you know, grim to me is not horror. And he's like, I would agree. And I was like, but American Horror Story is horror, even though both of them talk about demons, both of them talk about ghosts, both of them. And he was like, exactly.
Ooh, the Fed track.
Well, is that it? Is it the Fed track? I don't know. I mean, that's a possibility. But
are they calling all of us or just me?
Oh, it's, I'm not seeing anybody calling.
I'm getting a call from Roxanne Lee.
It has to be Rox, because Rox loves to do this.
Rox loves to fucks with everybody.
Rox has been on approaching... Oh, she's not... I'm waiting for her to get on so I can say this while she's on the
line.
Well,
John,
she's not answering the phone.
We do need to talk about podcasting, because in all seriousness, everybody wants to be on. Pat Henry wants to be on this year.
All right, cool.
I know.
Cool.
So 50 days or 60 days or what the hell are we doing?
Well, there's less than 100 now until...
Right. Yes, sir.
The thing.
I know.
Sorry, by the way. The... I don't know.
Try to call this again.
60, I suppose. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We did 60 last year.
How much
wanna
do
we want to do 75?
No, we do not want to do 75. How much do we want to irritate our spouses? I think that becomes the question here.
Well, again, if we do several a night, then I don't have to always be doing them, right?
So that's true. I mean, if we're doing this, if we're doing Weekend Justice every other week, and if we do like Tuesdays and Thursdays of the week when we're not weekend justicing, we could get a good 4 a week.
Right, so. Remember, in some of these, you know, like Pat and or yeah. Even security,
Gina, David, security.
Yeah,
we can do
like
a
that,
lot of them very early.
Those can be done early because their job really doesn't change.
Yeah.
Well,
and it doesn't. I mean, that's not a negative. That's just it. It doesn't.
Well, the track directors.
Well,
get,
actually, some of it does, doesn't it? Because
well,
of the
no.
new stuff this year.
Well, the point is, though, is that they already know what they know.
Oh. Okay.
It's the track directors that find out, you know, 2 days beforehand that they got a new guest.
Did you see two of the people coming are William Shatner and George Takei?
That's interesting because.
That is going to be fucking epic.
Because they historically don't like each other.
Hi, Rox. They do not like. They are not the bestest of friends, is my understanding.
But there was that combo a couple years ago, wasn't it?
No, George Takei wasn't here the year that Shatner was. It was Nimoy.
Oh,
Takei has not been here for a couple of years. When Nimoy and Shatner came, he wasn't here, and then when Shatner by himself, he wasn't.
Are they going to try to put them together?
I
would.
No, I think if they did
set them up or.
Epic.
Hello.
Well, you know, George is married. So is Bill.
Oh my!
I want to set him up. Oh my! Oh
no,
my.
No, no! I meant, you know, like here's the mystery panel.
No, they don't do that. No, 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 no. Dragon Con does not do that. You know the panels before you go. That's why we have to do them so damn early. And then I don't say anything because all of it's going to get foobard. So
now. Did you announce? You announced your changes to X-Track on Facebook,
yep.
Right?
Yes,
what? Oh, you did. What was it? I didn't see it.
Because we've added.
Rox is no longer invited.
Rox, what? I'm sorry. Hey, I draw a crowd, man.
You are a crowd.
Meaning that she draws on
not
a paper.
Not anymore.
On her paper.
No, because there's. Dark Fantasies is now horror and urban fantasy, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And
wait, I thought
urban
fantasy
is getting supernatural, which I think is a really good fit for.
Oh, okay. You were pointing out that they separate those two.
Yeah, they separated those two. So urban fantasies and horror, dark fantasies has now gone into two tracks, which is very good. And because of that, then some things are moving over into these groups. As I said, Derek and I had already, you know, American Horror Story was already with him, and I totally agree with that. And then
frankly,
Supernatural's gone over to Urban Fantasy, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, we had it because there was a paranormal vibe to it, but...
Oh, so does that mean they get Grimm?
No, Grimm is now with X-Track, because there is a little bit of that conspiracy part, a little bit of a government...
Okay.
Input with the police and things like that.
Oh, okay. That's
but,
cool.
You know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see this year. And, I mean, I think that's the question on X-Track and other tracks that serve what we got to before is I think we're all trying to say, you know, what's our – where are we? And no disrespect, but a part of the Whedonverse being Avengers to me is only because Joss directed it. It doesn't, to me, flow with the Firefly and the Buffy and the Angel and those kind of things, and even Dollhouse.
Yeah, right.
So I think there is a little bit of a, you know.
Right, because it wasn't Whedon created.
No.
It really wasn't Whedon.
That should still be under comic.
It was given a Whedon flair.
It was given a heck of a Whedon flair, and we're very happy for that because it made us a very happy people. But, yeah. So, I mean, I think there's some of that. But, you know, I think all of this is still kind of in transition. I don't think that's bad, but
are you gonna do? Because I think they worked out a couple times. Are you gonna do like the crossover from one track to the other?
I think we want to talk about some of that. I'd love to do. I would actually have already sent it out and do Under the Dome because I actually. That is much more of all of Stephen King's books. That one is much more of a conspiracy base than I really actually can't think of another one other than oh God, what is it? The one Insomnia. Insomnia
yeah.
is a conspiracy, but it's a conspiracy of the paranormal.
Right.
Under the Dome is a conspiracy of yeah. Somebody actually set this up this way, and I'm not going to give it away. Read the
please
book,
don't because I haven't seen it. Huh.
Yeah, so
I mean,
I
did
mean,
see
I
the Simpsons
that one to
movie.
Me is much more X-Track, but almost every other Stephen King, I would either put in urban fantasy. I would the hardest one to me to put anywhere for Stephen King would be The Dark Tower.
Oh yeah,
the hell is it? It's
you could you know honestly you could almost put that in alt history.
You could do it in alt history. You could you could of course always do it just in lit. I mean,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You could do it almost in apocalypse.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The world has moved on. I mean, it's a thing. So, but Warehouse 13 is staying, and that CCN's calendar is coming, and Les Wagner. I'm just
yeah.
You're also getting The Following, right?
I have requested The Following. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I just think it makes sense. I think The Following makes sense.
Well, it's all FBI.
FBI. The other issue, too, is there are so many new shows out.
All right, who's getting Hannibal?
I think that goes to horror. Okay. Who else? To me, I freaky damn show. It can go to horror.
Well, no, here I know, but here's the weird thing, is Lance Hendrickson.
Hendrickson, yes.
Hendrickson was on last week's episode.
Oh, was he? Oh, cool.
And Gillian Anderson's been...
been on there?
She's been... well, they're kind of giving her a little bit continuing role. But it's small.
She doesn't and remember being on there, but...
Now, yes. It's sort of interesting. Wolven did post his little thing about, you know, Hannibal. And I kind of agree on some points, but it's kind of interesting that this is a show when they bring a guest on... even if they're on like less than 10 minutes, it's a gripping 10 minutes.
It is the couple I've watched, and I'm not a huge fan of the show. I'm not like desperate to watch it. Couple I've watched, it has been well written, well paced.
But you need to see the one with Lance because you're like, oh my God. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to say a word, but it's just, it's amazing when you have certain actors that can actually work with their body.
Uh-huh.
And you can see everything of what they're doing without them saying a word. And he's one of those actors that can.
Lance is great at that. He is. Yeah.
So is Jenna Jameson.
Well, here's the thing. I never watched Millennium. Is his character sort of like Will Graham in a way?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it was kind of interesting because it's like, I think that's why they got him for this show. So.
The character is actually very much that kind of,
empathetic.
I have been beaten. Well, it's empathetic, but it's also, I have been beaten down by what I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot get away from it. If you've read, Red Dragon and some other things,
yeah.
I mean, okay. Will Grant is a hell of a sympathetic character as well in a lot of ways.
So broken.
And John, you were saying something, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just pointing out Jenna Jameson is also an actor that can do things.
Jenna Jameson?
Call her an actress?
Oh, actress, that's true.
Really?
Oh my gosh, did you guys see like all of the overflow hotels are sold out?
Mm-hmm.
But practically.
Wow.
Yep. This year, it's going to be a big year.
So now are they... that new show, Under the Dome, based on Stephen King?
Well, that's the one I put in a kind of a... I said, I think it goes with me because there is kind of an underlying who did this? Why did they do it?
Yeah.
Why us kind of feeling, which is kind of goes along with that kind of conspiracy part of Extract. But I mean, it could also, of course, go into Lit or do it as a joint. I could totally see it as a joint. What's the difference between the book and the.
Yeah, do it as a joint. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I was about to say, you should have service.
And Serve will do that. Serve, we'll start that one at 4:20 for you. How's that?
That will be fantastic.
So
awesome. We'll start a little late. We'll do that. Yeah, I put in for the following, the Dome. I have a question about Continuum because it's time traveling, but everything I'm reading about Continuum is she doesn't understand why she's there and why she got sent back because there's a real push of.
Well, let me ask you if I don't know much about Continuum, but the way you described it, if Quantum Leap was on today, where would it go?
I think that's a hell of a question to me. I would argue a lot for Quantum Leap, and so would American Sci-Fi.
Mm.
Right, but the point is, the thing is though, and I'm sure, I'm saying this as me, a person, and we love who the heck's in charge of American Sci-Fi?
Kelly.
Oh yes. They can't have everything. Technically, all of it's American Sci-Fi, isn't it?
Yeah. Hell, is it really American Sci-Fi since a shitload of them are made in Canada? I mean,
North America. Oh, that's what she should do. She should expand her title to North American Sci-Fi.
North American Sci-Fi. I mean, my understanding is I'm getting Orphan Black, which makes sense. It's on BBC, but it's actually not made by BBC. It's actually Canadian made. BBC picked it up. After CBC started it. So, looks like that's coming to Extract, which makes a lot of sense.
No.
You just want it all, don't you, Lee?
No, you know what? I really don't because honestly, here's the problem with having it all. A lot of us talk about this, very honestly, is because when you have it all, you're never going to make anybody happy.
Because you only have so much time and you can't schedule every single panel out there. And the other thing is too.
And I don't double book. If I have a main panel, I do my best not to have a panel in my room. And the reason for that.
You don't double book? That's what it says on the bathroom wall.
That would be Scott, that would be you.
Scott, that's only on Thursday.
Yeah, that's before I start working, Scott.
Uh-huh.
It is.
But no, I mean, the problem is you can't make everybody, it's tough. I'm only doing one lost panel. Trust me, there are a shitload of losties out there that are going to be mad because they want to do like 7 panels. I don't got time.
Have them start their own track.
Well, see, that's just it. I mean, I don't know. There are very few shows that I can look at and say, you could really do a track all by yourself.
Well, you could do a Lindelof. You could do a Lindelof. You could do a J.J. Abrams. There you go. A J.J. Abrams track.
Well, you know, I kind of made a joke of that with David. I was like, well, so if there's a Whedonverse, can I be J.J.? And she was like, no. I'm like, oh.
Because then you get Star Trek,
I get Star Trek.
You get Star Wars.
And I get Star
Did you say Star Trek?
I said Trek.
No, I said Trek.
I said Trek. I think. Let's rewind.
I have to leave you people for Star 2 Trek. Minutes while I go get a beer.
Having a Sam Adams.
I have my brother's chocolate porter he made.
I want to try. Will you save one for me and I can try it?
All right, did you guys get my email?
Yes.
I did get your email, and I'm on for it, but here's the problem, Rox. You can't sell it or give it away.
No, we can't give it away. That's what I'm thinking, give it away.
You could give it to your friends that are right here. We could not give it away.
As a prize.
I think for legal issues of, like, during the Fun Fest saying, and your prize is a 6-pack of Need Coffee beer.
No. I was thinking of gifts.
We would need to get that reviewed because I
okay all right well that's about, see that's why I said I we need to discuss
I mean love there's the idea. Laws about distribution of
I
alcohol.
Know it's like
there are
you can't
more,
sell yeah. it that's for sure
all right I'm back.
Widge, did you get my email?
Yes, I did.
Good. I hope it's okay.
Oh yeah, it's fine. Sorry, I'm a couple minutes late. I was finishing up the Scooby-Doo episode of Doctor Who, so.
The which one? The last one?
Oh, no. Hyde. I just now watched Hyde.
Which one was Hyde? Help me, guys.
Haunted House.
Ugh. The
That's
only
what I say every time.
Hundreds. Oh, I know. The Haunting of Hell House?
It didn't have Duke Ray Scott, who looks really who has aged well and looks good in glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, here real quick, because I know we already talked about it, but I'm behind. And feel free to talk about the ending if you wish, because I don't care. But the thing about the episode was it was so uneven in that the Doctor and the Companion, way too cute. The love story, way too forced. And sadly, on top of all of that, the creature was spooky as fuck. So they did a really good job of taking, you know, little, you know, glimpses of it here and there and making that work. Whereas, you know, you expect that sort of thing to be spooky and yet it was spooky anyway. So
it was a fun spooky to me. Yeah. I liked that spooky part. Didn't like anything else. I liked I actually liked both spooky parts because they're kind of our two spooky parts.
Yeah, they're kind of our. But I did like the bit about you know the soldiers gave offerings with a note saying please stop screaming. It was just like, oh, that's fucking creepy.
That's pretty awesome.
But I'm like, they're just too fucking cute. Oh, we're the Ghostbusters. I want to slap you.
You can.
No, not you, Lee. I meant her.
I meant her. That's fine. No, as I said, you can. Please, I'll hold her.
I don't think it's her fault though, because honestly, I remember seeing a bit from Charlie Brooker where he was talking about during the Tenet years about how they got too cute with stuff.
Well, it's okay. So, and I know we will talk about this later, but I tried to watch an old Doctor episode, the one that has the blonde floppy hair and I think a piece of celery on his shirt. I don't know which one that is.
But,
okay, thanks. My husband is laughing at me for that's how I described him. And I have to be very honest. What the fuck were all you small children? What were your parents smoking in the room that made all of y'all think this was a really cool show? Because that show was shit.
Well, first off, what did you see?
I know. What one?
It was the one with the when the Cybermen come back.
It's not really helping.
I think over the course of the thousands of years of the show has been running, the Cybermen have come back like about 12 or 15 times.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's like they come
all
back
right,
for the
okay, wait a minute. Who were the companions?
It's like that time. Hey, John, you remember when Superman fought Brainiac? That was great.
I think he walked away.
Oh, well, I would have walked away from that joke too.
Lee, who was the companion?
There were three of them, two women and a boy. Okay.
He wasn't my favorite. Well, I made somebody cry when I said that.
No, I gotta be very honest.
What,
I mean,
don't
I,
you?
Well, it was really funny when I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, first of all, the celery was pissing me off a lot. Second of all, I kept watching it, and I kept looking at it. He had celery like as a
flower, you know, lapel thing.
Oh, I know. I'm just asking, what does Lee have against celery?
I have nothing against celery, but it looks stupid on a jacket. And by the way,
celeriasis.
No, I like celery. It adds. It's actually very filling, lots of fiber, and no calories. However, celery also loses all of its water very quickly and will go floppy, like many of the men on this panel.
Hey!
Oh, wow.
What's your damn mouth?
All right. But that was one thing. But the other issue was the sets were so, oh my God, cheesy.
They always were, Scott. Lee?
Wait a minute. Yeah. So, Rox, when, about what time frame are we talking about here that Lee is trying to describe?
Hold on. Well, he was right after. Yeah, so mid-80s.
Because they have eye makeup on, which.
Well, but Lee, I mean, if we're talking early 80s, then you're looking at it with 2013 eyes. I mean, for fuck's sake, think about all the stuff we had in the mid 80s.
But and
we are looking at it with old eyes.
I am old eyes. With my glasses on. But think about it, which I go back to like some of the Scooby-Doo episodes. I still enjoy those, even though there's Fred with his ascot and things like that.
Okay, so do you like the Mama Cass episode?
Okay. Scooby-Doo mystery movies are fucking badass.
They are. Thank you. But, you know, in the Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and H.R. Puff and stuff. But I still kind of wonder
what is it with all the things you like that involve pot?
I know, Lee.
I'm just telling you that the children in the UK and the US that got hooked on Doctor Who early on, their parents were smoking pot too. Serve, you got to fix this out, man, because we got to figure this out because there is a correlation here. I'm telling you.
No, there. I don't understand you. I really don't. I know what it is. There wasn't any fabulous footwear for her to admire. And the old Doctor Who. That's why she's being bitchy.
Oh, my God. She needs to wait until Tegan shows up.
Isn't Tegan in this one?
No.
Yeah.
It's later. It's later. Is she really?
Yeah,
she's annoying. That chick's annoying.
No, but see, Lee, I was pulling up a list of TV shows, sci-fi TV shows of the 80s. So let's see.
Let's go through them. All right.
Yeah, we had... Let's see. The great production value of Automan. Yeah, that was really good.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, Buck Rogers. Those had great sets. Let's see.
Dr. Theopolis was a great piece of technology, Lee.
And Wiggy or whatever the hell his name was.
Tweaky. My God.
Scott, we're old.
Knight Rider, that was quality. Oh, Manimal. Wow. Manimal,
watch
hell yes.
Manimal was only, why do people give Manimal such like this great thing? Manimal was on what, 8 episodes?
Who
I think it
gives
did a
it a great
season.
No one.
No, 8 episodes, you're right. But still, it was manageable. It was. It was.
Oh, it's like Misfits of Science. It was not a real show. It got canceled.
No, it was a real show. So it's Misfits of Science. Sorry.
And a little part of Shag dies when he hears that.
Oh, really? Does that is one of Shag's favorite shows, Misfits of Science?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he also likes chips.
Oh, Street Hawk. Yeah, that
What's
was
wrong so with strong. Chips.
What's wrong with chips?
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that go? I can't remember it. This is the thing.
Don't forget, these are TV shows on networks where they actually had some money, not the BBC, who, you know, was a government agency and, you know, therefore had no money.
I think of the quality stuff, you've got Airwolf, which was quality. Let's see. Oh, what was it?
Which was a Belisarius production.
Yeah, what'd you say, Lee?
A-Team.
Not sci-fi. It sci-fi.
But it was fantasy.
Not sci-fi. Right. Not sci-fi.
Wait, V was on in the 80s.
Yes, it was. And it,
yes, they spent a ton of money on it.
Yeah, and oddly, as far as production value goes, Max Headroom looked great.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't, but the rest of it did.
I think Max Headroom, I used to watch that like every week. And I remember at one point my mother asking me if I was on drugs because I was laughing at Max Headroom. And I was like, no. She goes, how do you understand this? I'm like, it's awesome. I remember that.
Again with the drugs, with Lee. I think we should be talking to Lee about this.
No.
Do you have a problem?
No.
Do we need to have an intervention?
No, it makes me throw up. It makes me throw up. I've talked about this before. I'm allergic.
So you didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, I threw. Ooh, no. Like, massively. It's nasty.
What makes you throw up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how am I sounding?
You're good.
You sound like you're on a speakerphone.
A little bit in a tunnel.
Okay, let me get closer. I got a new microphone, so I'm actually getting closer to the mic. How does that sound?
That sounds better.
Oh, good. So basically, Lee is a snob.
Oh, totally.
Complete and total sci-fi snob.
Well, we knew that.
Right. I completely don't deny that.
Oh, so Widge, you came in on our discussion about the need coffee beer, possibly.
Oh yeah. Okay. So
she has to check.
She has to check.
Apparently, well, right? Isn't that you have?
It is, Widge. There are rules about giving away alcohol.
Where?
In lots of places.
Oh, where? Okay.
Well, I think the concern mostly is as a prize.
Oh,
no, I
okay.
wasn't thinking. No, I was thinking if we gave it to guests and stuff.
Oh, now that I can do. Because we don't ever give away beverages or food to any guest. That is the rule.
Ever.
Because if we did that, we would have to buy it through the hotels, and that would never, ever happen.
Never happen.
Yeah, like weddings. They never happen.
We'll just
leave notes and say it's behind the dumpster.
Look, I have absolutely no problem with the idea of a need coffee beer and even helping with the cost of such a thing that we would all taste from ourselves in this small group. I think that sounds wonderful.
Of course you do.
So what kind of beer would it be?
Well, that's what I got to discuss with my brother-in-law. Okay, I was thinking, do you have any more of the need coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We could use that.
Make a stout.
Well, yeah, he was thinking either a stout or something else so that it's not so hoppy. I'm drinking his chocolate porter right now.
I think you could do a coffee chocolate porter with the need coffee. That would be tasty as hell.
You know, I just want to throw a thought out there.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The site is need coffee.
Right.
Implying you need coffee.
Right.
So
yes.
Shouldn't the beer actually be a very, very hoppy like IPA that's far away from coffee?
Well, it would, but then I wouldn't be able to drink it.
Correct.
Yeah. Weege and I have a problem with hoppies.
Lee, I'll tell you this. He does brew a really nice beer that the bubbles are really small.
Yes! Tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles. I'm very happy. This tiny chocolate bubbles. Porter is nice. He made a summer ale. We kind of need to know before July, because July we have to start brewing it, let it sit, and then we'll bottle it up before Labor Day.
So Lee, let me understand. You have a problem processing large bubbles?
Large bubbles actually can be uncomfortable on my tummy.
Yeah.
Because it has a little tiny tummy.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. I knew this.
I did not know this. I thought.
That's why actually it took me a year. I mean, it's been 10 years since I had my surgery, and that's why a couple of years ago was the first time I could even drink beer. Because before that, I literally was in pain. It has been almost 10 years, yeah.
God damn.
Wow.
I know. Hard to believe. But yeah, I think this year is number 9. I think October is 9 years.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Yay. I am one of the success stories, which is good.
Yay.
But you and Chris Christie.
No, wait a minute. Lee, when you say I am one of the success stories, that makes it imply that you're like in a minority. Is that?
It's about 50-50.
Do lots of people then go and drink beer and explode, or?
Actually, a lot of people who have the gastric bypass don't actually don't change enough of their habits that they actually gain. They either will lose some, but then they start gaining it back much faster. I mean, I know one person who actually had the gastric bypass like I had, and was eating fried chicken in the hospital. Yeah, literally. I was in the hospital and could barely, like, I had, like, one of those NyQuil cups of yogurt. And they were like, here you go. This is your breakfast. And I'm like, I can't even eat all of it.
Wow.
But your dog could have.
Yeah.
And who wants it? Who wants her?
Not me.
I can't support anybody right now.
It's noisy.
I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone on the podcast.
She's not smart.
It's all your
fault.
You ruined it.
Sorry.
She's not, you know, I don't know if I would say she's smart or not smart. I would say that she is stubborn. She is a poodle. She's got a lot of poodle in her, and she is very stubborn.
So she takes after her mom. She's cute.
Yes.
So she takes after her mom.
All right. So we'll have to think about
that. So she has a lot of poodle in her?
I am not stubborn.
Oh, wow.
John Boutel. When would I be stubborn?
Scott, is that a Frank Zappa reference? If so, well done.
Yeah.
Sure, let's go with that.
All right.
Frank Scott, who?
Frank Zappa is.
Yeah.
Oh, I know who Frank Zappa is.
He makes the shoes. He has a shoe site, right?
Zappos, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Frank
Zappa. No, that's one of the Marx brothers.
Zappo is
one of the Marx brothers that never made it anywhere.
Zappo is the masculine form of Zappa, so.
Somewhere Rob Levy just tripped over something.
He wears,
I'm not sure why, but his heart is also hurting.
He wears a mask and fights people in Mexico, right?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Like a luchador.
No, you're thinking of Zapata.
Yeah, I had some Zapata the other night.
How was it?
Delicious.
Was it too spicy?
No. But I like it hot, if you know what I mean.
Unfortunately.
John likes it hot.
He likes it hot and aged in oak.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to see him in less than a month, and I have to remember how he
talks. Yeah, you got to remember to be nice.
I know.
Okay, I'm throwing this out there, too. So okay. It looks like we're doing Derelict once a year. It didn't seem like it panned out for another episode, you know, another issue. So... It, people out there, if you're interested, please send anything and everything of written material, photos, whatever, to Widge.
I believe it's derelict@needcoffee.com.
There you go. So it'll be, you know, we're going to do a volume 2-4 Dragon Con. So send me your stuff.
Rox, what's our
tired, your poor, your... Huddled what? Masses.
Oh, yeah. So everyone's talking about gin. We did gin last year, Lee.
Yes, so we did. What
alcohol do you want to do this time?
You know, I'm actually thinking about doing blended scotches.
Okay. All right.
Thinking about that, because that's actually a nice summer to fall drink.
Okay, there you go. So
thinking about doing blended scotches. So
if you want to send something in for the famous, infamous, derelict.
I think that goes with infamous.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah. And I think our beer should be called Derelict, too.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Because, oh, dear God, it's not like all of us aren't.
So yeah. Derelict. Volume 2. Woo-hoo!
Lovely.
Yes.
All right. So, I am caught up on Game of Thrones, though.
Are you caught up on the following? Did you finish the following?
No, not yet.
Oh, Widge!
Sorry.
Then I'm not telling you my Samsung story until you finish following.
No. Oh, you got to tell me the Samsung story.
So, Game of Thrones, you're caught up.
Samsung story.
You're caught up on Game of Thrones. Sounds great.
What is the fuck? What have I done with you in Samsung? I've been meaning to ask you. You bastard!
Did he leave?
So, Game of Thrones.
He left a long time ago.
I can't listen to Game of Thrones because I'm not caught up.
All right, Lee.
You had an extra week.
God damn it, people.
Let's talk Grimm real quick.
Grimm, I'm really wondering what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. The ending for Grimm was so awesome.
And I love that they have their tongue in cheek every time they're like, to be continued, but
I know.
You know, I love
that. Oh, come on. You had to know
that
was coming.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, come on. You had to know that was coming.
Oh, come on. You had to know that was coming. But, I mean, I kind of am a little worried. I mean, they've put Nick in a little thing, and the zombies are around everybody, and the blowfish guy scares the fuck out of me. And so, I don't know.
Actually, the thing I liked are the badass gypsies. Do not fuck with gypsies.
Do not fuck with gypsies.
I have said this to you people. Yes. Do yes, not cross. She has. A gypsy.
And the gypsies are
I know, and the thing is you thought that Frau Peck was gonna be something. Holy crap. She got her heart handed to her.
Can I just say this real quick? And sure. It's gonna be part of the 60 Days of Dragon Con soon to coming to the Unique Geek.
Wait, 60?
Yeah, that's what we did last year. 60 days. But it'll be one of the
quickly our spouses can.
It'll be one of the podcasts. It's going to be the Grimm panel that we did last year at Dragon Con. But I want to point out for the record that Madman had it absolutely 100% on the nose when he said, you know, we've all assumed, because at this point we didn't know, we're all assuming that the chief is a bad guy, the captain's a bad guy.
Yep.
Have we seen him do anything bad? He has not done anything bad.
I knew there was something odd about him, and I didn't go to that panel.
And as so far, it looks like he is a good guy.
I have to be honest. I you know, first of all, he is a guy that the actor usually plays these kind of very gray characters. He really does. Think about him. If you think about him in Caprica, you think about him in Grimm.
You'd assume anybody had seen Caprica, though.
Hmm?
That's assuming anyone saw Caprica.
Some of us saw Caprica. Fuck off. And so some of us have an Eric Stoltz thing. We're not going to talk about it anymore. But yeah, Herbert. So.
I think I'm coming pretty good.
John, God damn you. And so I thought, yeah, but no, he plays that really well. I love Wu so much. I just want to like hug him and squeeze him and call him George.
You love to Wu?
I love the woo. Woo, woo, woo.
All right. What do you guys make of the little spoiler? Spoiler. When what's her name? The little fox girl went to her little secret hidey hole thing and you saw the foreign passport.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh man, she's a bad person.
Well, no, I don't know that she's a bad person, but remember her brother like sold passports and he had a lot of Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that she's a bad person, but she could get the hell out. I thought it was really good. I did love Juliet's reaction when they all, and I loved how they all were like, I should go first. And everybody kept looking at Monroe, and Monroe was like, I think you should go next. Cause it was like, oh, not good. Cause, and then she just walked out and walked back in. You're like, that's kind of how I probably would have handled it. Cause I still know these people. They're okay. But yeah, that's going to freak me out a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. I was pretty darn happy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an episode they covered a lot in 40 minutes.
They did.
I was really happy with that episode. And I'm glad that kind of they brought, because, you know, it's like we were all happy when Nick's partner finally came up, because like, oh my God, we can't have a whole season of him not knowing crap. So now yes. I'm glad that Juliet knows, because it's like, Juliet. Oh my God, we can't have another season of her not knowing.
Well, and I also liked how she said, look, I need to know. It's not, she pushed it. And I think that was really good, because a little bit of Juliet was being a doormat.
Right.
I mean, and that was it. And you kind of do feel bad for her and the captain, because this wasn't their fault. I mean, they were kind of under something as much as Nick was with the Muse woman. And so you're kind of like, you know, and I think actually that was a great episode, because Nick's like, yeah, I can see how things like that could happen. I got to get over it.
Right.
Which made me happy. So I'm loving Grimm, and I still think that it's one of the better shows on TV right now for a sci-fi fan. And it's really making me look.
You
at
mean
the
for a conspiracy fan? For a conspiracy fan.
For a conspiracy fan, yeah, and yeah. for anything yeah. else, but yeah. It's also
yeah,
really
you,
making
you
want to
attract.
Who do you think who would be playing their dad? The captain and his brother's dad.
I don't, is his dad still alive?
I thought he is.
I thought he was too, and I am just dying to figure out who they're going to play. I can't figure that. I mean, it's kind of like, what is it, Mark Shepard? I mean, Jesus Christ, who do you bring in?
Yeah. Bring
the little black dress of sci-fi? I don't know. I don't know who you have as the father, because you've got to have somebody who is that kind of charming yet menacing. Yes. And they've done that very well with both of those brothers. That charming yet menacing kind of feel to them.
And actually, if you look at the whole, you know, genre of fairy tales, the Captain Renard really does fit that bastard stepchild quite well.
Well, and this has made me reread some of the original Grimm's fairy tales, not the Disney versions, not the versions that we got read to when we were kids. Those damn stories are not nice.
Mm-mm.
The Brothers Grimm were a little freaky. And
I mean,
the whole point of the Grimm's fairy tales was to teach you through fear.
Right. Well,
yeah, don't go in the woods. Something will eat you.
I know, but here's...
Rape you.
Yes, that's
if you're lucky.
However,
wait, no.
Scott,
rape is never fun.
Grimm's fairy tales, that's even as what they were actually stories for adults. Not really. I mean, they're, you know, yes, it does teach them not to do that. However, early on, those type of stories were really for adults.
Well, and
just saying.
It is, and or adults then took the stories and made them.
Oh my God! Yeah,
basically for kids.
You know, because they removed the sex and the full violence.
The full violence, but yeah, I mean, let's just remember the Huntsman wasn't always a nice guy.
No, oh no.
You know, so I don't know. I think. I kept worrying, and John, I think we talked about this during the Grimm panel, is can it continue at the level it's been? I'm not seeing them go down yet. Every time I think, okay, they're going to lose it, they kind of just go, okay, we had a little dip, but we're right back there.
You know, honestly, I think there's something about writers in general, and I wanted to post this on Wolven's article about Hannibal. A lot of these guys who are writing, and this Derek even brought this up, a lot of them are doing a ton of research.
Oh yeah.
You know, that they have to do this for Warehouse. Okay, there's a scene in Hannibal, And I only know this because I read this item in another book, and it was that Carter Beats the Devil. It's about a 1920s magician who winds up buying a guillotine. Okay. So there's a scene where Hannibal goes in, confronts this one character named Tobias who runs a, you know, a music shop. And the interesting thing, the guy named Tobias asks him, well, what do you need? He's like, oh, I have a harpsichord string that's broken and I need that fixed. Well, this is the funny part. So here's a guy that pretty much guts people and stuff like that. The guy who actually created the guillotine was a Tobias Schenck or something like that. I forgot the last name. And he was actually a harpsichord maker. So I'm like, holy crap. Somebody on that show did enough weird research to come up with this character. I mean, this was not an accidental, oh, let's cobble this together. You know, it's like a lot of them are putting out little Easter eggs. It's like what they did with Lost. It's like, you know, coming up with, you know, different stuff so people will go out and read about philosophers and stuff and find out it meant nothing for that show. But it's like a lot of these writers are having to, like, push the envelope of writing and researching, you know. So it's really cool when you see, you know, it's like knowing how, you know, you would never, you know, going to Grimm, you know, they're doing some really cool gypsy lore, you know, in the Romany.
They are. I have to be very honest. The gypsy lore has been very interesting, along with the little hints of it's bigger on the inside in the tents and things of that nature. If you haven't noticed that. They're taking that from the Harry Potter or Doctor Who or whatever. I mean, there is that kind of a magic feel. And there's also still the thing in Grimm, and it comes out so often of, I'm not really sure who the good guy and the bad guy are. And I'm not really sure anybody is a good guy or a bad guy. The one they had recently where the woman was pregnant and they had to kill the cows because what did they want? The hearts or whatever? The livers?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Some internal nasty organ. The issue there to me was, you know, they're not bad people. This is just what they eat.
They were eating the ovaries, just for the
record.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, the ovaries. I mean, it was like, you know, it's sad that they're killing cows and taking away money from the cattle farmers who are going to kill the cows anyway, guys.
Wait,
let's talk about the cattle farmers.
You went so far to do the cattle farmers.
It's like, yes, you're giving them the basic, this is how they need to survive, you know, what they need to survive. Right. So they add the element of, oh, hey, we got this other weird, creepy-ass guy who goes around and hunts them down.
Yeah,
it's like, okay,
exactly,
yes, we do have a villain.
Yeah,
here you go.
By the way, we do have a villain. By the way, it's not who you thought it was.
Right.
And I like how Grimm does that, because that goes back to a lot of those shows that, I'm not going to say Grimm makes you think a lot, because I don't think it does, but I think it does make you think a little more than your typical.
Well, it has to. It's like, okay, Warehouse 13 steps that over. It's like, we're not cops.
No.
You know, so it's like, okay, with Grimm, it's like, well, they're Vessen. It's like with the Haven thing, too. It's like, okay, we need to send those people, you know, we need to help them. You know, so you're like doing a lot of stuff outside, but you're still you still have ethics.
Well,
you have a lot of morals and ethics. They're not cut and dry.
Now, remember,
I'm sorry, John.
I just want to point out, and a lot of this comes from the executive producers who served under Jaws.
They're all writers for Buffy and Angel. And think about this. I mean, Espeson came from that idea. Grimm did, and some others. The other issue there, too, Rox, as you were saying, is it's, again, these shows, nothing is black and white. And I think that is a really, that's important to me, because in Warehouse 13, a lot of times people are like, are you going to take me to jail? And I was like, and they even say it, that's not what we do.
Right.
That's not what we do. And even Nick will say that, you know, it's not about taking you to jail or doing this unless you've really done something that I've got to take you to jail for. Otherwise, just stop doing what you're doing and we'll be okay. And if you can't stop doing what you're doing, we got to talk about it. And I think that's very, there is that, I like it. I like that idea. It makes people think, and it makes people think about, all right, what is there a moral black and white? And I'm not sure there is in some of these. And that's a good thing. I like, as I talked about, the shows you can watch as a family. A part of the reason I like Grimm, part of the reason I like Warehouse 13, thanks a lot, Eddie, for the booby region thing, but is that, you know, it is something that we talk about. You know, should he have been let go? Should the woman who didn't mean to, but people died because of what they did as this kind of environmental extremist group, should she get off with it? Should right. she?
Yeah. You know?
And it's a good discussion point. It does a lot of that, and that's kind of cool for a family if you're all watching it together.
Yes.
Wow, we went a really long time talking about Grimm and Warehouse 13 and meandered everywhere else.
Would you wake?
Oh, it's a what?
So, that other show.
What other show?
Which other show? The Samsung update. That was a show, right?
Nope.
What is the issue about the Samsung update? What is going, John? What
the
is the
payoff
key?
Is
going
to be so crappy after all this.
I know you're like teasing him, and unless it's like Samsung,
well, he has to finish the following first.
The aisles and has, you know, Bigfoot shilling for it. What the hell?
No. What's that show? Game of Thrones.
Serve's not caught up. We got to talk about something Serve can talk. Okay, wait. I have a question to talk about.
Why start now?
Well, wait a minute. How far back are you?
Two episodes.
He's too far.
How are you two episodes behind? They had a week off this week.
He's a newlywed. He still has sex, John.
Well, and because...
So what does he do with the other 50 minutes in his hour?
Sweetheart, remember when you were newlywed? Before kids.
I'm sorry, you're right. 55 minutes in this hour.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're talking about John here.
That's true. We are talking about John, aren't we? Okay. Well,
see, here's the problem I have with Game of Thrones. And it has nothing to do with the show. It has to do with the fact that I don't have HBO. So the show...
Oh, pronounce it correctly. It's HBO. Just,
the show just sometimes comes to me and allows me to watch it through magical means, and haven't had
you
the opportunity
have,
to magically...
You don't have a Fios, do you?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I don't think they have in this area.
Because they had a free HBO week this weekend. Yeah.
Just go live with
it's HBO. It's HBO.
And you could have watched Magic Mike this week.
Oh, my God.
I need to watch Magic Mike.
Man, that was a movie about absolutely nothing, huh?
That was filmed here in St. Pete.
Well, in Tampa. Yeah, they talk about Tampa the entire time. The whole thing takes place in Tampa. Stripper capital of the world.
Sorry,
you told me that when I visited.
Tampa was stripper capital of the world, but I didn't know the whole movie was filmed here because I wasn't in it like
you.
So,
wait a minute.
Here's the deal. I didn't even know this, but it's semi-based on Chatham. What is it? How do you pronounce his name?
Channing Tatum.
Tatum.
He used to be a stripper here in Tampa.
Yeah, he was a stripper.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I messed up.
What?
Oh, wow.
What? What'd you say,
Channing Tatum used to be a male stripper, yes.
In Tampa?
Yes. Actually, in some other places as well. Supposedly, he was in a touring group, I think, too.
Yeah, that's kind of what the movie's about a little bit.
So, do you have, like, pizza delivery service that you can actually ask for a stripper to deliver pizza in Tampa?
Why are you
so interested, Rocks?
I don't know. Just because you can get male or female. Can
As John
a male stripper.
Pizza in his mouth, we just heard. But yeah.
No. I'm sorry.
I knew you were. I knew it.
Yeah, so does that come with a stuffed crust?
That wasn't
yeah.
Ladies.
Is that
what you would call a deep dish?
Okay. I have a question.
Oh, my God.
G-string
cheese.
Dude, that's disgusting. Okay. Here, I have been reading zombie or apocalypse novels recently. And I got
to
say...
What, are you trying to take over that track too, Lee?
No,
jeez, Lee, what is your problem?
I'm not taking over any tracks. But I got to tell you guys, I think we need to come up with an e-coffee plan. Because here's the issue. I'm not going to any safe zones. I'm not going anywhere where they're trying to put everybody together because that just means the zombies are going to find us faster.
Are you talking about you want a zombie plan?
I think we should have a Need Coffee zombie plan, yeah.
How much don't are they selling those old silos for?
Well, we can't discuss it here.
Why not?
Because people will find out about the sub I own. Oops.
Oops.
And by
well,
sub,
here's my plan. Yes. Don't get eaten.
Well, that's my plan, too.
But the funny thing, though, is that Rox's plan is to eat the sub that she owns.
Yeah.
Well, they can't be
right
delicious.
Now I'm hungry. Yeah, the
submarine. It's a giant sandwich. She hides in it and eats it.
Well, Sky, what? You just
like
woke
James
up,
the giant
right?
Peach, except it's Rox and the giant submarine.
Yeah.
That could be a completely different movie, though.
It could.
So many different.
Did your child
have a submarine?
It's who, what?
Yeah. Moving on. Anyway, what
Thank
were you saying?
Serv, I was saying that it's the only sandwich in the world that actually has working torpedoes.
I really do need 27 inches.
Yeah, goddamn soundboard.
On
okay,
record,
so
saying.
Speaking of torpedoes, how about that Star Trek, the Next Generation thing? No, wait, the
it was awesome.
Darkness thing.
Who?
Into darkness.
Did we not talk about this?
Who sighed?
No.
No, we've been gone since then.
We've talked about 2 weeks. No.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was released last Friday.
Right when the last one was released. Right.
Podcast, it is.
And Benedict Cumberbatch is.
You can't
just,
say names, Lee. Are you drunk?
No, I just can't say names.
Okay. No, well, I have the same problem. No,
He's so awesome.
Didn't you see her arm at Dragon Con? It said Gillian Anderson on both arms, so she can remember. Just saying.
Which is ironic because she wouldn't have remembered her own name anyway.
I know.
But she pronounced it Gillian is the problem.
Yeah.
No, I
thought Gilligan. Oh, thank you, Gilligan, for showing up.
Gillian. No, I loved
this. It's so funny that Lee can't say what she typed.
I know.
Wait, hang on. What was that, John?
Nothing. It's just nothing. The podcast listeners will hear it, which is enough. Great.
What were you saying, Lee?
I loved how JJ took a lot of the Star Trek tropes and just fucked with them, but still kept the ideas from The Wrath of Khan in the movie and loved it. I loved it.
Well, here's the other thing I liked was the fact that the way the trailer was cut, you thought something else completely different was happening than what happened in the movie. Like,
oh, yes.
The way the trailer was cut, you thought that it was Benedict Cumberbatch piloting giant obsidian Enterprise, right?
Uh-huh.
The big dreadnought. And shit like that. So that was really nice. And there was a bit in there where you're sitting there going, okay, is Khan going to be a good guy in this universe? What the fuck's happening? So it was, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Now, is there anybody on the podcast who did not like it? I'm just curious.
I didn't see it yet.
I had my problems.
Well, what about those movies?
Scott slept through it all from apparently what he said over the weekend.
No. I mean, I don't know. There were certain moments where my brain woke up and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Which part? No, I'm really seriously, because there were a couple of points that I did have to hand wave, but it was very tiny.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mr. Scott flying into what supposedly seems to be a secret base and managing to infiltrate it without any sort of problems whatsoever.
I did. That was a hand wave. I did have issues with that. I will agree, because all of a sudden, if I just join the little caravan, nobody's going to see me do that.
Well,
yeah, that
wait a minute. Let's back up for a second. This was a secret base that was run by a government, yes?
Yes.
Okay, I'm good.
Now, we're not talking about today's government. We're talking about, like Federation.
It doesn't matter. The Federation government, as we have shown, can be dumber than a box of bricks.
So, Scott, what you're saying is it's an even larger bureaucracy. Okay, I got you.
It's a worldwide bureaucracy.
It's not just a multi-planet. There are many more planets. Awesome. I will say I did think that the woman stripping down behind Kirk was unnecessary if you're not going to show me naked Khan.
Well, now, but you saw the cut scene, right?
I did see the cut scene. Put it in the movie.
Now, but I did like Abrams' thing about where he did have not completely naked Kirk, but you did have some Kirk in there.
Wait, hold on. What did I miss?
Okay, so what's her name?
The Shower of Evil.
The Shower. Oh, you didn't hear about the Shower of Evil? It's on Nick Coffey, and you can see it. It's really pretty. He's a pretty man.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second, though. But I'm trying to figure out who was tripping behind who.
Okay.
Alice Eve, the doctor.
Dr. Marcus.
Yeah, stripped down to her underwear, and then Kirk turned around and said, look.
Bra, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was a very lovely look, and
I didn't see a problem with that episode.
I would have had no issue with it if there had been something. If there had been a reason for him, he knew what she was doing. Why do you turn around, Kirk?
Because he's a whore doll.
Because he's Kirk.
It's Kirk.
Yeah, because he's a dirty.
Because you know what, Lee, Pete would have looked. Just saying,
Pete would have looked.
So let me.
Kirk's name is known by legend by many, many Oran slave girls. Of course, he would have looked.
The only thing that I had an issue with in the movie myself was the unnecessary fan service of Gen 1 Spock showing up for absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
No, well, but hang on.
Seriously, that was more fan service.
It's equivalent. Couldn't they have used old Spock to sort of like, you know, can you give this message to the Federation for this and some ships to help us out?
No. See, John, here's my thing, is that made perfect sense to me in that if you have access to basically a variation of your future self and you were dealing with some really heavy shit, wouldn't you call him?
John.
No.
John, just between you and me.
I'm in the middle of trying to kill a dude.
John. Yes. Is there any way that J.J. Abrams is sitting there thinking, is there any way I can make William Shatner madder at me? Yes, I can give him no more cameo again and still give Spock another one.
Well, yeah, okay.
Boom, done.
Do you really think that's his goal?
I think it was fan service. That's all it was. Underlying fun thing. I think that's a part of the fun. Sorry, at this point, I think it's part of JJ's fun. I do.
Yeah, but Lee, that's you. You're vindictive and weird.
Mm-hmm. Says Rocks.
Exactly what bit of information was conveyed that was not already known by Gen 2 Spock?
Well, first of all, we didn't hear the entire conversation, so we don't know. And second,
my assumption is that he just said that we used what he wanted against him, and that was it. I didn't say I went ahead and died in a nuclear reactor. Maybe you should have Kirk do the same thing. Oops, spoiler.
Yeah,
oops.
We don't know.
Well, by the time this comes out, it's been out for 3 weeks. So see it or die.
Well, the information that was conveyed was Khan is a son of a bitch and don't trust him. So what I thought was going to happen was that when Spock was like, all right, get the officers and arm them, I thought they were going to go over there and kick some ass. I was fine with how it turned out. But no, I didn't have a problem with Spock Prime showing up. That made perfect sense to me.
You know, the bigger thing I had a problem with, and I know this sounds really dumb, is those stupid ass hats they wore.
Yeah, their dress uniforms were terrible.
The dress uniforms bothered the fuck out of me, and I'm sorry, but they did.
I don't think they've ever had really good dress uniforms on Star Trek.
No,
yeah,
even
well,
on
these were exceptionally bad.
These were exceptionally bad. Yes, thank you, sir. Yeah.
Well, here's the one problem that I had was that they were, you know, 100,000 miles from Earth, and then all of a sudden they were falling into Earth. And I missed the part where they got to Earth.
That is true.
That was the one part where I was like, whoa, what? But at that point, I was enjoying myself so much, I didn't give a fuck.
Well, and
it was a very enjoyable film. Yes.
Yeah. Now, it is going, though, I have to go back. It is just a lot to me like Iron Man 3 in that I loved it. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. Lots of fun. Don't need to go see it again. I'm all right. I'll wait till the DVD.
Yeah, no, I'm there.
I can see it again.
It is no Avengers. You're right.
It is no Avengers. I still do not feel that I had to see it, and that's kind of odd to me. Because well, I did really, really like Khan.
To be fair, there are very few films that are like Avengers, i.e., that's whenever true. I'm feeling down, I pop it in, and I don't get sick of watching it.
And I get so happy, God, and it just makes me so happy until poor baby dies.
Can I just say this, though? And this is kind of off topic, but it's Avenger. Welcome to Weekend Justice, John.
hope you survive the experience.
The new Disney XD Avengers Assemble looks horrible. I watched the first 2 hour thing for it. I don't know why, because they had a great Marvel Avengers series that they were running. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they decided to go off in this other route where the artwork is not nearly as nice. The voice acting is not nearly as nice.
Disney's looking for a dollar. The reviews I were reading were saying that they were actually pretty enjoying it.
Here's a question I have. Is the new show more geared towards just children, or is it, do you think they still like try to involve adults in it?
Well, they're injecting more humor into it, as opposed to the interesting thing about the series that they, I guess they've ended. I haven't quite
they
looked
did
it up.
Did it. Yeah.
That's interesting. Right. The series that they ended actually hit many of the, high points of many of the major arcs of the Avengers over the years. And they did a really good job of telling them in basically condensed versions. This one is more of a, it's almost like it's, the Avengers as if they were the JLA. And they've started to form, the Red Skull has started to form a, basically, what the heck was the JLA's? Injustice League, yes. Yeah, and so it seems like it's there, that's the route that it's kind of going, and it just,
now, wait a minute.
I find the voice acting horrible.
Hang on, John, is the Red Skull forming the Masters of Evil?
That is possible. We don't know yet.
Because that's what the anti-Avengers group was called.
Yes, but it's not exactly, probably, I don't know. We don't know where they're going yet because he is going to form. Actually, he's not even the Red Skull, by the way. He's now the Iron Skull.
What?
Yeah, because he got Iron Man's suit. See, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing toys. I think that's what I'll bet you that's what it is. It's like they didn't really do a whole bunch of toys with the old one you're talking about, but now with this new one.
Well, here's toys the other thing everywhere. The question of why would you end a series that was really good and doing perfectly well in favor of something else which isn't as good? I mean, DC did that with Batman the Animated Series.
That's true, but you know the most
Batman
recent
Beyond was good.
I'm talking about the Batman series that came after. That was like the Tales
the one
of
that,
the Batman or the whatever.
The one that Dini did.
Paul Dini. Paul Dini, the one that was most recent, was actually Brave and the Bold.
Brave and the Bold, which was
actually really good. It's really good. It's very. It's not. Anything like Batman the Animated Series, obviously.
Ew.
It's more of the old school. It's kind of a cross between the campy Batman of the 1970s, 60s, whatever, and the more serious Batman. So it's very well done. I think Batman Brave and the Bold is actually, I'm not sure if it's still running or not. Certainly is on Netflix.
I'm talking about The Batman.
The Batman was horrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Was horrible. Batman, what was the one you just mentioned, sir?
Batman Beyond.
Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond was good.
Do you remember, Wid, you must remember this, that when they started coming out with the new version of Looney Tunes, and someone made that cartoon about, you know, Bugs Bunny being extreme!
Yeah.
Swearing. I think that's what they try to do with, like, that's what they want to do with this stuff. They want to make it extreme and hip and edgy and put Poochie in there as an Avenger or something. But it's like, it never works. Mm-hmm. And they never learn that the, you know, kids can smell, kids are pretty good at smelling bullshit, you know? So I don't know. It's just, it's irritating.
Well, here's the deal. Where was I going with this? I forget now. Oh, but the Avengers, because I think we go back to Star Trek again. But the new Avengers, just the voice acting is just not that good. Now, the only thing I could think of is that they Man of Action took over their animation and direction late in the Marvel's Avengers series that was running on XD and apparently now is canceled and replaced, and they've taken on this one, which is kind of what they did with, my son watches Ben 10, so I've seen kind of the progression that they've gone through, and the animation style that they use now is more digital than hand drawn, and it takes away from what I like so much about the Avengers series originally, and even to a certain extent the Ben 10, because the Ben 10 stuff they have going on now is kind of more, you know, again geared, I guess Scott maybe hit it on the head a little bit, that it's a little geared more towards kids than it is towards maybe older kids, if you will. Anyway, that's all I had to say. So Star Trek, that movie, yes.
Well, see, now I've got to watch it because I was reading the IO9 reviews and some other reviews, and they were liking the Avengers Assemble thing. And they were like, yeah, really? I hated that they cut the other one out, but this is pretty good. So it's kind of interesting that I'm listening to you say it because I want to now see it. It's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just curious.
Well, here's what I'm curious about. Is anybody on here like a hardcore Trek fan?
No. Yes. Oh,
I have been. I mean, yes. Voyager and Enterprise kind of cured me, but I was.
I understand.
Okay, up until Voyager, yeah. I'm a lot like Scott.
Well, the reason I was asking is because there were some people who just very strongly fucking hated the Star Trek movie. And
yes.
They seemed to, their problem with it seemed to be that it was running with the thing that you liked, Lee, which was that it took some of the stuff from Wrath of Khan and turned it on its head, which I was fine with.
Well, and as somebody who, you know, I grew up with it and really, my grandfather was, you know, just, he was, he gave up Catholicism for Trek. But yeah.
Hold on. What?
Yeah, he just his religion became Star Trek. But yeah, I think it was very, I liked it doing that because, as we were talking about in our family on the way home, is the family way home, or as it were, was that these are different Spock and Kirks and Marcus and everybody else. So it was kind of fun to take that idea. It was, to me, one of the best things about it is Kirk finally admitted that he was scared of dying. And that is not something you have ever seen James Kirk do. And to see that was actually it meant something to me that, you know, that he not only sacrificed for his crew, but yeah, I knew I sacrificed, but you know, how can I not be scared? Cause actually this is a little terrifying. And I liked that. I liked it. I liked it fucking with people. I thought that was great.
I don't know. I mean, the other main, like, wake-up moment was, like, when they did the thing where Kirk's dying and Spock, and they're having this thing. And it's kind of like what they did in Star Trek II, but not quite. And you can kind of see the, you know, they're playing off more of the themes and the actual dialogue. And then all of a sudden, Spock yells, "Khan," and I was like, "Oh, come on!" That one.
But see, but no, you know, that, Scott, no, I gotta be honest. No. I liked it, and the reason I like that is because he had just said he couldn't get in touch with that logical, rational side right then, and that was exactly what we're seeing. Kirk has been asking him to let that part of himself out a little bit, and he did, and damn.
And then he went and kicked, you know, Khan's ass.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. I was like, do not piss off Spock.
Do not piss off Spock. You know, the other thing I thought was really funny is I still don't know how much I can go with the Spock Uhuru thing, only because of that one is actually probably the one that hurts my heart more, is because I want him and the nurse to get together. But from the old show.
I want Uhura and the nurse to get together.
Well, yes, John, we know about that. Different issue, John. But I like them arguing at each other, and it's like, are we really going to do this now? I thought that was hysterical. And I know a lot of old fans were like, they would have never done that. Depends on how pissed they are. Might have. You never know.
That's true. And you are looking at, in essence, a younger crew. I mean, this is still early days.
Yes, that is a part of it too. Is that we're looking at a crew that's the thing with the old Star Trek fans. They're like, well, it doesn't do that. Well, they're not the same people. I mean, you know, it was a 3-minute description on why they aren't the same people, but they're not.
Yeah,
and you gotta go through that.
Yeah.
Which Lee likes. I don't know.
Well, and like I said, the smartest thing they ever did was they set it up to where all of the Prime Universe people, they're still there. They still exist. They're just in an alternate timeline, apart from Spock Prime, who has been shunted over to this universe. They're still there. You could still tell stories using those characters if you want to. Uh-huh. So they didn't negate anything. So it's like I said, I think in my review, it's they were doing what DC and Marvel have only paid lip service to. DC and Marvel make a big deal out of how, oh, well, we can tell any story and it's all real. Well, why don't you?
Well,
oh,
I think
no, we have to have, oh, well, we can't, we only have to, we have to have one Spider-Man, and we'll just retcon Spider-Man out of it. No, why would you do that?
I mean, we know that they have multiple universes in both continuities. It's not that they can't use it, you know, to establish different timelines and shit. You know, this is the 616, and this is 617, or whatever the fucking numbers are.
Well, yeah. And I think the only thing that still, as my husband says, pisses him off through it, and he's still enjoying him a lot, is we couldn't get through one damn movie without time travel. Not one. And that was his issue with the first one. I wanted you to tell me a different story and not go to the time travel trope, or not go to a different timeline trope, you know, and that was his one thing. But as he said in this movie, he was willing to forgive it because it made it a better movie.
Well, I was willing to forgive it in the first one because it basically made the movie possible.
Well, a point as well.
I mean, and like I said, made the entire non-reboot possible. I mean, I cannot tell you the joy that I felt when I realized what they were doing. And I turned to, I don't know if it was, you know, who was to my left, Thespier, Cosette, whoever, to my left. And I said, you have just witnessed the smartest written thing you will see on screen this year. I mean, I just was literally like, oh my fucking God, somebody realized they were in a science fiction movie. Do you know how rare that is? Well, let's actually use the laws of the universe that we've got set up and do something creative. Wow, what a concept. It's so rare. So,
Well, anyway. The one thing that I'll say, I know John knows this was my giant gripe after the first one was character development. I felt that they went so far, they went as far as they could to push the whoever that last person was that didn't understand or know Star Trek with the character development to try and make it clear that Kirk would break every rule and that Spock had emotions and would show them. Because in the first one, all I could do every time I turned around, there was Kirk breaking a rule and there was Spock getting angry or showing some emotion. They toned that down, but they also recognized it and they stated it. You know, they said, Kirk, you know, you break all the rules. And it's like, well, thank you. Someone else noticed it too. Fantastic. And this time it felt like Spock brought it back a little bit and acted more like what we've, you know, what the original series Spock always acted like was, you know, was a little bit more in control of those emotions.
Well, see, but and that was another thing I liked about that. That was one thing I did like about it. You know, he got called on breaking the Prime Directive, which we never saw ever in the original series, I don't think.
Well, and sir, the two things I like about that are, number one, being a young Spock, it makes sense that he would struggle with, especially being, in essence, you know, a person of two worlds, you know, wanting to be human and Vulcan at the same time. And yet in the second film, when he gets called on, oh, you're not showing any emotion. And it's basically like, I'm not showing it because I can't deal with it. I've put it over here so that I can just, you know, get on with the day, which to me makes Spock a much more interesting character, because it's like, who hasn't had to do that? You know, who hasn't had to be dealing with some really heavy shit and because you had to get through the day, you had to get something done, you just had to put it at arm's length and go, you're just going to sit over there and I'm just going to ignore you for right now. I really liked that a lot.
Well, I think they did a lot better job this time around. It wasn't forced down everybody's throat the way I felt it was in the first movie. And I was much happier about that. Mm. But I thought a lot of the little tricks that they played with this one playing off Wrath of Khan was just, okay, now Spock's going to yell Khan. That's cute.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was a beautiful film. It was very, very pretty.
And so much less lens flare.
And so we did say that until the end, so much less lens flare. We were there.
What?
There was a lot less.
Was there? Because all I could think the entire show, I was watching an IMAX 3D.
Same
here.
The only thing I could think of was there's a lot of lens flare.
Really? And that may be a different because we actually saw it in regular old 2D. Sorry.
I don't think we missed anything.
Right. Now, here's the thing. JJ, for the next film or whoever does the next film, has to do something at least somewhat original. They've already tapped the okay, we'll remake this story.
Well, you've already got your next villain. Your next villain was already revealed.
It was?
Yep.
It was?
What? Yeah. When?
Absolutely.
Who is it?
People just aren't paying attention, are you?
No.
Who? Is it the Tribble?
Are you confusing this with Fast and Furious 6?
By the way, the Tribble was brilliant. But anyway, go on.
Tribbles?
It was a see-through prop that, oh gee, why would he inject blood into a dead Tribble?
Hold on, see, my theory being that now he has actually created his own problem, but anyway,
deserves it. Yes, so the
and oh by the way by
a minute, is the villain of the third film undead Tribbles?
No. That would be awesome.
No, but the villain of
that
the next
could be
film.
The next big thing in zombies, which we need to get on that.
Zombie.
Stop! I want to know who the next villain is. Shut up, Scott. Who is it?
The next big villain, I believe, who was revealed in this movie, in the original series, was in the episode with the Tribbles.
Oh, Harry Mudd.
Cyrano Jones.
Cyrano Jones. Okay.
Klingons.
Klingons.
Oh, you think they're going to do the Klingon deal?
Absolutely.
They're
going to
do the Klingon war.
You got to see the Klingons for the first time. And they've changed them. And now you cash in on that.
Well, that makes sense. Sorry, I thought you were aiming for like a big bad, not like an entire race.
Well, who's a bigger bad in the Star Trek universe? At least original series.
Romulans.
I thought it was Romulans.
Romulans.
Well, that's next gen.
Romulans. True. Original Klingons. Series. Klingons are the big bad. And
technically, we already had the Romulans.
TOS.
Anyway.
Well,
interesting. That's true. Yeah. We already technically had Romulans in the first film.
Well,
but we can have the grumpy old Klingons back and how the being young and stuff.
Well, the only thing I would say is that to me, I thought there was, a decent amount of original stuff in here. I've never seen somebody crash a starship into a city.
Which was awesome.
I thought that was pretty fucking insane. Also, I don't recall, a lot of Spock fist fights. I thought that was great. Especially when, there's so much just brawling going on that when the nerve pinch happened, it was like, oh shit!
Well, I've seen some Spock fisting, but that was just the movies I watch.
I thought there was enough original and enough callbacks. But then again, I was never that much into Trek. I mean, to me, Wrath of Khan is like the pinnacle of original Trek. And I thought this paid tribute to it and didn't annoy me. But then again, I don't have a lot invested in the original Trek. So I'm good either way.
Can I say something?
No.
Okay. No, actually,
you know what? I like that so much I might play it again for the coda.
So I watched Dread for the first time this past weekend.
Oh yeah, what'd you think?
But here's what I could. First of all, I was like,
Who is Carl Urban?
Hold on a second. Who is an actor? So I kept hitting info on Fios, and it kept saying Keith Urban. And I kept going. I thought Keith Urban was a little different. This seems a little weird. Okay.
Oh, dear.
And finally, I had to go on Google because I'm watching, going, what's going? Oh, Carl. That's why his jaw looks familiar. Because that's all you see, of course, of him is his jaw. By the way, I thought it was I still have not seen The Raid, which apparently people compare it to.
It's, well, it, they are alike and yet not.
I think, though, from a comic book standpoint, and from the world that they kind of built there in the hour and 35 minutes or whatever it ran, I thought it was really well done.
It was.
I thought it was really good. It was way more brutal than I thought it, was going to be. And, but that kind of lives up to, that was very much Dread-esque.
Yeah.
From the comic books. I've only read a couple of Dreads. Because it's really not my necessarily my
dread it.
Not my cup of tea.
No.
What? Because I dread. Oh,
he made a terrible pun, and I just like. Ugh.
But from
you were so late bringing in it.
But from the movie, it was very. It seemed very faithful to what I know of Dread and what I've read of Dread. It was enjoyable. And still even then, it's not my favorite type of movie when it goes so violent. See you, Serv.
Oh, bye, Serv.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
But I watched it right after watching, Cabin in the Woods. Finally.
What'd you think of Cabin in the Woods?
It was, often there's concepts that are great on paper and never really pan out in films. I thought in this case, it was a concept that was great on paper and panned out in the film. I thought that they did a very good job of not overdoing it and not underdoing it. They found that happy medium in between that kind of, got us to where we need to go, and it was very well done. And again, I'm not a horror fan either, so
well, first of all, if you are a horror fan like me, I just was gleeful because of all the stuff that they were calling back to.
Right.
But you don't have to be, you know, as your testament to. But there's just stuff like I urge anyone, first of all, for fuck's sake, see the film, whether you're a horror fan or not, because it's really good. You have seen enough horror movies to be able to get it. I don't care who the fuck you are. But once you've seen it, then go back and find the picture on the internet of the whiteboard. That's all I'm going to say. And John, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because then you get the full effect of seeing everything that's on it. And it's genius.
And I mean, and I'm not a horror virgin by any stretch of imagination.
Well, we've all seen that.
Because you know, I was a Hellraiser fan, the original. Yeah. The second one was not.
Everybody's seen some Friday the 13th
movies.
Friday
the 13th, exactly.
Everybody's seen Nightmare on Elm Street movie. You've seen enough horror that you can get the film. But here's what I would say. If you have not seen it, the less you know going into it, the happier you will be.
Absolutely.
Okay. I have a question.
And even some people
don't know anything about it. Can Kidlit watch it?
No.
No.
Well, okay. It's very gory. It has a lot of gore in it, dude. I don't remember if there's any. Is there some booby action? I don't think actually there is any booby action.
No, I don't think so.
There's always the eluding of booby action.
There's a fair amount of pot. I don't know how you are with Kidlit about that.
We discussed that.
Okay. No, oh, I don't know. That's
what I'm asking. No, I know. No, and that's a good question, but that's a discussion point.
So. It is a movie that, see, you can see it again and still enjoy it. So,
oh, yeah.
Okay,
I would.
So if we watched it and then.
Yes, and then you can make your own decision.
Well, all right. Well, Lee, here's what I would say. The gore that's there, it's not, shall we say, mean spirited Eli Roth type of gore.
That's good. So it's not torture porn.
No. No, see, to me, it is so rare in that it is a horror film that I was having fun watching.
It is a Joss Whedon-produced film, and you can tell that there's a reason why he picked it up and
it made. It shows love for the genre like nobody's business. I mean, and it's fun. I mean, so many horror movies these days exist only to make you uncomfortable or disgusted or repulsed or just, and there's room for that, but you can still have fun. Unlike, say, the Evil Dead remake, which simply seemed to exist only to gross you out.
Or to make money.
Well, no, but I mean, but it just, it's one of these films where it's like, let me see exactly how disgusted I can make you. And the problem with that is, by the time you're up to the, I don't know, 10th or 12th atrocity on screen, you're absolutely numb to it. You don't feel anything. And you don't give a shit anymore. So, but no, I think that's smart. You watch Cabin in the Woods, check it out, and then see if it's Kidlit friendly. I think it would be. I think it would be myself.
I personally would not let my daughter watch that, even if she was, say, even 15 or 16. Just because of the sheer...
Yeah, but that's a girl.
That is true. Girls are...
What do girls know? You have to remember, I started on horror movies at a very early age, which explains...
Well, you know, again, I saw
so in other
faces
words,
of,
don't do it or you'll end up like Widge.
I saw Faces of Death when I was 13, so...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of...
Yeah, Rox was a producer on Faces of Death at 13.
Yeah.
Maybe I was 14.
You know, we had to wrangle that bear scene. That was a lot of work wrangling that bear.
You know, the one that has stuck with me is the monkeys. Monkey brain stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I really hated it when they would do the speed up running around thing like Benny Hill and turn it into a music video. You're talking about different monkeys.
Yes, different one. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
And I don't think there were any half-naked women in that.
Although, I would pay to see that movie where they killed Face of Death starring the monkeys. Davy Jones as...
Oh, my God.
As target number one.
Yeah, they'll all be eating Peter Tork's brain.
Now, you know, Jesus. Now, you know what would be great, though, if someone hasn't already done this, is to do, dear listeners, someone please do this. Take Photoshop and do the Red Ghost from Marvel Comics and the monkeys as the Super Apes. Ready, go.
By the way, which I had to draw. I was trying to figure out, you know, you mentioned Masters of Evil and kind of, oh, okay, I see what that is. But I was trying to go back and look, and I was thinking, was Red Skull ever in Masters? Nope, never was.
Really?
According to at least what I saw.
Well, here's
what Lee said she's going to talk about. Lee said she's going to talk about Game of Thrones, and then. Oh, I'm going. Okay, never mind. See, she used the wrong two, so therefore I misread what she said. I'm going to talk about Game of Thrones. No, she meant I'm going to.
Here's the difference. What I was going to say earlier, actually, about Masters of Evil versus, say, the Injustice Society, or like the Legion of Doom, right? The Legion of Doom, the DC setup has always been more like, well, we need a Superman villain, we need a Batman villain, we need a Wonder Woman villain, we need da da da, right? So everybody's got an anti version. Whereas the Masters of Evil was just a bunch of different villains,
right? Just right? trying to beat yeah. the heck out of, well, trying to do as much evil as they could.
Trying yeah. to make it in this crazy world. They just want to try to support Rock's, their family.
Rock sympathizes with the Masters of Evil, of course.
Of course she does. Of course she does.
You know, we're just trying to put food on our on the table for my kids to eat. You know, that's all we're doing. Oh my God, did you see? I posted this. I did this link. On Boing Boing, they mentioned how a South American drug lord. Did you see this? How he goes out and eat? How he dines out?
No.
Okay. He goes to a restaurant. This drug lord, and he's got bouncer, you know, bodyguards and crap. And basically, they go in. He sits down. They lock the doors. And one of the guys will say, you know, excuse me, everybody, we need all your cell phones. Nobody will be hurt. Please continue eating. And, you know, don't ask for the check. You'll get your phones when everyone, you know, when we leave. So basically, he pretty much kind of holds hostage. However, you know, at this restaurant, but he pays for everybody's meals. And then they leave.
In that restaurant.
And apparently they did it twice.
In that restaurant is Denny's.
No. No. Ah. But I mean, it's just so, you know, that's.
Well, who can resist country, the Grand Slam?
Country
but
Home Buffet?
No. No. Some. I guess it was a pissy restaurant, but, you know, it was sort of funny. Everybody relinquished their phones because,
well,
you know,
what are you
there's
gonna
drug
do?
Lords with AK-47s.
Well, yes.
And you're trying to, you know, eat your empanada. You know, so you're like, okay, we'll eat.
Was that
and
a
then,
sexual reference?
And then your meal is paid for by this drug lord with manners. Who knew?
Which
I did.
So weird because it rocks. Okay, let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. You're a supervillain, okay?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be simpler and safer just to like buy out the restaurant and make it like a private dining experience for like 3 hours or something like that?
No.
Wouldn't that be cheaper and safer?
What if he had this sudden urge for whatever this restaurant had? He didn't schedule it. He just said, I want to go to the restaurant.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I want their empanadas now. So
because, you know, we saw that on The Sopranos. They have their little weird bar restaurant thing. They all have that. But sometimes you just want something different.
Yeah, you want some In-N-Out animal style, right?
Whoa.
Wow.
Wait.
Hello.
Maybe there's something else.
I think so.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Jesus.
I don't know.
Holy.
And the thing is, you know, then all of a sudden, if you own the restaurant, unless you're laundering the money and you use it as a front, which a lot.
Or you just really like clean money.
Right. But, you know, having, like, if you're going to.
It's as if Howie Mandel owned a restaurant.
No, no, no. If you're going to own a restaurant and you're going to be there, you know, just like in the movie Casino, and you got Joe Pesci who's running customers off, you don't want, you know, that's bad for your business. You know, if there's always several thugs in front of your restaurant, that'll drive your business away. So
now here's the question I have.
I like the idea of here we're, hello, everybody, I'm here to eat, you know, enjoy your evening. Don't ask for the check.
You aren't going anywhere for the next hour and a half.
And that's,
see, I,
that's
wonder,
great.
I wonder if somebody had the nerve to like upgrade their meal when this happened.
No, Scott, you know that. I bet you, you know what? I bet you there were no complaints, though. There's a fly in my soup. I bet everybody thought that was a great meal.
So Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yay.
Game of Thrones. All right, so.
Since we killed off all the other
Game of Thrones is doing the old Star Trek theory where every other episode's good.
Really?
You mean every other movie.
So what did you think about this last episode?
Well, wait a minute. No, we got to go back one.
No, we really? I don't think we do. I think there is only one since the last time because there wasn't one yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's... Oh, man, you're right.
Yeah, because they had the Liberace movie.
I know. Okay, we could talk about that, Scott. Did you watch it, Scott?
I don't have HBO, so I would have to legally...
It's pronounced
it.
HBO. I know, Scott. I magically got it because, you know what? Liberace is magic. Just saying.
Oh, I will catch it eventually.
Oh, man. And I watched it on purpose. I should have texted you, Scott. Damn it.
You know what? I would have loved a... I'll just say this. If there is a Rocks Scott C commentary track for the Liberace movie, I'll post it. I'm just saying.
All right. Get with me, guys. I'll take care of it.
No, that's not a command performance. I'm just saying if. Did you catch the word if in there?
Yeah, and we got to wait for the DVD because we got to be, you know.
Why?
Legal and shit.
Oh.
Whoa,
no.
Wait. We do?
Since when? When has that ever stopped Widge?
Since when?
Holy shit. Oh, whoa. What do you mean Widge? What has that stopped Widge? What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Mr. Samsung?
It is. Just finish the following. That's all I said.
I'm going to. Trust me. I want to.
By the way, the payoff is horrible for the Samsung story. But the following payoff is awesome.
Okay, that's all right then. Anyway, Game of Thrones.
Yay.
So, okay. Now, okay. Remind me, please, because I can't remember who is not reading the books, who has not read the books?
I have not read the books.
Okay.
My wife has.
I don't care.
I haven't.
Okay. That's cool. I will just say that Peter Dinklage is fucking killing it, okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There is a reason why he moved up in the, if you watch the credits, this season he's number one in the credits. There is a reason why he's number one in the credits.
Well, yeah, because everybody else died.
Well, there is that too.
No, but I mean, he becomes front and center of the series, and just everything about this last episode, from just how even better than the books because it's got Peter Dinklage driving it, right? But just how human he was about, I cannot fucking believe this is happening to me.
Right.
I cannot believe I'm married to this. What did she say? She was 14.
Yeah. She said 14.
I am married to someone who is looking at me like I'm the freak that I'm always been afraid I was, and yet I'm going to be kind to her. All of that going on, and the drunk stabbing the table, going, "Oh, there's not going to be a fucking bedding ceremony, motherfucker."
Yeah.
I will kill you.
Fucking kill you. That was, all of that was just fucking brilliant. And Peter, God, he's amazing. So that to me was, there's a lot of stuff happening in the episode. I mean, we got to see Sam.
Actually, we need to talk about the episode before with Charles Dance and Diana Rigg. That was a great. I mean, we loved which they fabricated, which was Charles Dance and the girl playing Aria was awesome. This they just ratcheted up. This was great. You know, them talking about, you know, her grandson and stuff.
Yeah, I want to say that did happen in the book, didn't it? I think it did.
I think, yeah.
But rocks. I mean, you've got Charles Dance and Diana Rigg. How can you not fucking have them together, you know?
Yeah.
But that was brilliant. But yeah, every time Diana Rigg is on screen, it's fucking awesome.
It's magic. She's like Liberace. Well,
but in Charles Dance too, he is such.
Oh my god! Yeah, in that whole drink scene too. Oh my gosh, you know. And then the dad sidles up and, you know, bores into, you know, Peter Dinklage's character. Like, you will get her pregnant. It's like, oh
wow,
geez, dad.
So, well, it's interesting because I think that the father, though, is also trying to head off any further complications from, you know, he's actually concerned about his grandson doing something that is going to impact adversely his family, right? So,
right, yeah.
So he's just trying to get, he's saying, look, I think it's more of a defensive move. If he gets her pregnant, then he doesn't have to worry about his grandson screwing things up.
But I know, but here's the thing. You find out in the books on what a real prick he really is, which...
He being the father?
The father. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like that whole family are like Wolverines. They're all in a can, and they all want to fight, and that's what they're like.
Being together.
Oh, my. They're just horrible on so many levels, because you find out so much. It's like, why did you even do that?
I know it wasn't uncommon.
Oh, you just get this like, oh, my God, you did this? Why? Just because? Well, because we can? It's like, you people are fucked up. All of you.
Well, I think... I mean, as far as a defensive move, yes. I mean, he's just shoring up all of his, because basically they're right. If at this point they're seeing that Sansa will have Winterfell in the north.
Right.
And then, you know, the son they can pass to the son, Castle Rock, because Tyrion's not going to get it. And then you've got the Tyrells under control with Cersei, which that was fucking hilarious. No one cares what your fucking father says.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that was good.
I can't wait for her head to be on a spike, really. It's just... Oh, no. Actually, the better line is, don't ever call me sister.
Oh, my God. That was...
Holy crap. It's like, wow. Yeah. If that wasn't a bitch slap, it was. She didn't notice it. Yeah, she's just...
So yeah, we've got two more episodes, and then we're done. And the less said about that, the better.
Well, my wife was saying they're only like 10% of the way through the book. What the hell is going on here?
Well, smartly they might be splitting it up into
18 years.
Well, no, because there's so much going on that they would be. I mean, they barely got like the first two books crammed into the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. So smartly, I think they're just pacing themselves, and trying to actually, you know, tell the story properly. And they are going to end the season at a good ending point for the season.
Yeah.
Because
if they end it in a certain way, you're going to be like, holy crap. You know, yeah, I think it might. Yep. Yeah, I won't say, but
the less said about it, the better.
Yeah.
How see, I have a hard time keeping track of people's names or characters' names or whatever. But what do you call it? The blonde chick who's over at the other place.
Daenerys?
The Khaleesi. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Did that play out pretty much like it does in the book?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
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 All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. I thought that was actually pretty pretty interesting twist. I thought that I thought for sure they were going to have to go to war with the that group, but
I really like her character. I, you know, as far as, you know, developing, showing.
That was a question. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, because I have to say this before I forget it. That was a question I asked Sonya, my wife, before I paused the show, and I asked her. I said, was she this sympathetic in the book? I mean, because she because she seems
she was kind of, because there's a scene which they didn't really show well, you know, where the actual horsemen were allowed to rape and pillage, and she actually put a stop to that, and that was a big, you know, faux pas, right? White ridge on that, you know, of the whole, you know, it's like, hey, we're the horse riders, we could do whatever we want. And so she really saw herself as a little bit more sympathetic by, you know, putting a stop to the raping.
Well, wait, she did that with the original folks. She's in the, yeah,
correct,
yeah, the Dothraki, yeah,
right. She did that. They did show that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said they didn't show
her. No, no, they did show her as a sympathetic character that way. And I like the idea of they're showing, it's interesting, they're showing her as a leader who's doing the stuff correctly.
Frankly, of all the people they've shown thus far, she is the one I would rather have on the Iron Throne than anybody.
Yeah. At this point, yes. Because it's like, well, she knows that she needs the Horde as much as, you know, they need her, you know,
right?
Because everybody else, it's like, you know, the little band of, you know, the Brotherhood who are trying to fight for the regular farmers, they're not going to get that far, you know. But, you know, where they mention that the Game of Thrones is for the, you know, the upper echelon of that society, her, you know, if anything, she's going to be one of those people that will, you know, if she gets the Iron Throne, she will make sure that she rewards those people who have been loyal to her far better than any of the other knuckleheads that are vying for it.
Now, Rob is here, by the way.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, kids.
But I do have to ask this question. Were you guys yelling at the screen, get the knife, get the knife, get the knife?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know we were. We're all like, wait, why are you leaving? Wait, go. Well, okay. You're dumb.
Well, but the other thing is, I believe he has multiples. So.
Does he? I thought they only found one. I thought he only found one.
I thought he found an entire cache of them.
Oh, okay.
I thought he only found one.
I could have sworn there was a whole bundle that he
But he certainly, I mean, look at the character. He shouldn't be carrying that many. There's nothing to imply that he would actually be that forward thinking.
Yeah.
No, he's not really a forward thinking kind of guy.
No.
So Liberace behind the candelabra.
I have not seen the Scott movie yet.
Scott didn't see the Scott movie yet either.
I'll probably watch it this week though. I've been a little busy.
Scott apparently dropped off, so.
Did he?
I guess.
Oh. And he also left the call.
Darn.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
I suppose. And then we got to hear the Rob report. But, oh, Rob, before I forget. So I saw the Iceman.
Yes.
I thought the acting was really great, like you were saying. Here's the thing, though.
Was he with Pyro?
Yes. Yes, he was. And they made a great vaudeville duet. But no, I actually went back and, because I was trying to find out, you know, well, what happened to the wife? And I forgot that I was trying to remember what he had said about Hoffa, which I couldn't remember. But reading the actual story, I actually feel like they were cheated, because the actual story is so much more interesting than the story that they told.
Oh, wow. See, I have not read the original story.
The original story is a lot more fucked up and weird. like the bit where when she got, she was much more aware of what was going on. Not that he was a murderer, but that he was really, really disturbed. Like at one point they were having some sort of fight and he stabbed her. He stabbed her with a knife that was so sharp she didn't even feel it. And then was like, if you try to leave me, I will kill you. So there was a lot more fucked up shit going on. And the whole sequence of events and everything, it was just much more complicated and interesting. So
I should read the book.
Yeah, I read the synopsis because I couldn't remember what the Hoffa thing was and what happened to the wife. And the Hoffa thing was that he told at least one interviewer that he's the guy who did Hoffa.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Which, if I remember correctly, listening to the guy who wrote the book on Art Bell, the guy said, yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. So.
Yeah, and it feels weird in, 2013 saying, wow, Winona Ryder was pretty good in the movie.
Well, yeah, that's in 2013, great. but remember, her two best turns are still Age of Innocence and The Crucible.
Oh, I know, but those are still, 10 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, but, and with Daniel Day-Lewis using his Speed Force.
Yeah. Yeah, but Michael Shannon's just an amazing, amazing actor, and seeing him in that made me even more excited to see him in Superman.
Yeah.
So...
But yeah, I just thought I would throw that out. Is that I thought the
no? I will try to go see that.
The acting was good, but the story is much more fucked up than what was on the screen, and I think they could have had a little bit more of that going on. But anyway, we'll go ahead and do introductions, and then I guess you guys need to talk Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Because
I heard Rox, you were excited, right?
Yes, I was.
Oh, good. I would like to know if I should be excited. But anyway, so we'll do introductions, and then we'll come back and we'll do that, and we'll do introductions.
Oh, I thought we were going to do a Rob report.
Oh, well, you're the guy who played the Robo Aaron introduction thing, so.
Oh, well, I meant after. Okay, never mind.
So anyway, we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you. Staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Justice. This is the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com. The number one audio internet train wreck. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League. And thankfully, the Weekend Injustice League is not here, nor are the Masters of Decaf. They aren't here either. Instead, I will endeavor to introduce the league that we have going from my right to your left. We have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Free Nelson Mandela. Oh, never mind.
I was unaware that you were charging for him earlier. World Leader Thrift Store? What? No. We also have Rox's Bass House here. Hi, Rox.
I have homemade beer.
Uh-oh.
And it's good.
And fear this. And of course on the board is John for the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
Why is it always cock with you?
That is what I've been trying to figure out for a long time. Thanks, other me.
And by the way, I have no more beer.
What?
And I'm feeling it. Huh?
How can you have no more beer?
I do have more beer. However, I am not going to open another beer because I've already drank 9.4 ounces of 10% alcohol beer. So I'm pretty good right now. I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir.
Yay. All right. So, Rob, do you have anything to report before we let you guys duke it out on Doctor Who?
No, I haven't seen. The only movie I've managed to see in the last week was 2001, and everyone's probably seen that. So, I always jump to see that. There's a midnight film series here by my house, and if they're interesting, I'll go see it. But I'll always jump to see that on a screen.
So there was no Rob report, really, is what we're saying.
Just making sure they hadn't re-released it in 3D or something.
Oh God, no!
And done by Michael Bay. Michael Bay does 2001.
I haven't seen Behind the Candelabra yet. I will do it this week. I'm horribly behind, but I will. I will say I'm very anxious to see Stephen Moffat's Behind the Candelabra and see how that turns out. Can you imagine if Liberace designed the silence?
Oh my gosh!
Or weeping angels.
Wow.
Well,
instead of weeping angels, what if there were weeping Liberace?
If Liberace designed the silence, they would be very loud.
They
but
would
if Liberace
indeed.
Couldn't close his...
See what I did there was a pun.
If you think about it, though, if Liberace could not close his eyes when he slept, he would be the perfect protection against weeping angels at night.
Yes, he would.
He could
just hide behind Liberace.
Is that a fact? He couldn't close his eyes when he slept?
Yeah, there was, yes.
He had surgery.
There was a great scene in that where, and I'll tell you this, the person to watch in this film really is Rob Lowe.
That's what I've heard.
He is always the person to watch.
It's amazing. Oh my God. This one scene reminds me of the movie Brazil with what is her name? The scene where she's getting plastic surgery. What is her name?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Catherine Hellman?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, my God. Basically, that's what Rob Lowe looks like. And he just oozes that 70s, 80s, just greasy, pill-popping doctor. It's just like, he was great. He was great in that. It was just like, ooh. It's good. It could have been better. You know, it's like, it seemed like it wanted to be one thing, you know, almost like this, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with, you know, Liberace.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to see Matt Damon's ass a couple times and, you know, same thing with Michael Douglas, you know, whatever.
Well, if you ever go to Vegas, you can go see the hotel that's apparently haunted by the ghost of Liberace.
Oh, okay. How did he died at his house.
Yeah.
How did
but
he
there's
get,
some hotel that they say, "I look, you're the expert in the undead. You explain to me. I don't know, but there's supposed to be a hotel in Vegas that's the ballroom is haunted by the ghost of Liberace.
It's really weird. I know these two girls, they swear that they actually transported a ghost through a coffee pot. I'm not kidding.
Maybe the watermelon.
Why am I not surprised?
Maybe the watermelon he was eating was a transporter.
You know, Rock, you could get them to write about that for the zine because technically that would be a crime and misdemeanor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the name of volume two is Derelict Crimes and Misdemeanors.
So wait a minute. So trying to transport a ghost through coffee, wouldn't you just? Why not just use? Creamer.
It was a coffee maker or a coffee can or something. These girls actually worked for the Ghost Hunters out in Texas. A subsidiary of them. Anyway, they were exploring a house and somehow they took a coffee can, coffee pot, whatever, and they actually moved this ghost to their apartment.
Okay.
That's what they claimed.
Did they,
like, okay.
Wait, they kidnapped a ghost?
They kidnapped a ghost, yeah.
Man, that is so... He's and already, you know, dead.
Were,
I mean,
they,
I
were they drug
I
lords?
I think it's a female ghost.
Were they drug lords?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're not.
I will get something from the zine. I'm just drawing a blank.
I'm a drug lord and I want some coffee. I'm going to lock the doors. Everyone finish your coffee. Don't ask for the check. Barista, make me a triple espresso with, you know, a little bit of cinnamon on top and some of that whipped cream, please. And don't mind the AK-47.
Yes. And please pass your phones to the front of the class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Doctor Who, it's over.
Yes.
Happy, sad.
I liked it. I liked
Should
it a
I
lot.
Care?
We get an old doctor. Yay.
Is was that the reveal?
Yeah, John Hurt.
Oh,
it's the Night Doctor, which pushes everyone back one.
No, hold on.
What
hold
did
on.
I hurt?
Is that true?
Well, they haven't explained it very well. So from what I understand, and I don't understand much, is he is either a doctor that the doctors after him purposely put out of their mind or had put out of their mind, or he's like the Valiant and he is like all of the darkness. Apparently they might say that the Time Lords took all of the darkness out of all of the Doctor's previous incarnations and made this Doctor, and he is the Doctor. We know that he's the Doctor that actually ended the Time War and did all of the things that the Doctor is not known for doing.
Right.
Like probably, you know,
nightmare
breaking neck.
The child thing and the
wait a minute.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the Doctor from the antimatter world of Quard?
Possibly. I mean, we don't really know.
We don't
but it's John
know.
Hurt, so I... You know, by the way, there is a deleted scene that just came out. If people wanted to know some of the plot, one or two of the plot points, they're going to be releasing deleted scenes up until the anniversary special. So
wait a minute. Is it revealed that the companion is actually John Hurt in disguise? Because that
no.
would be
oh. No, they reveal that. Do you care?
I don't give a shit.
No. Okay, basically she's been fragmented and she's been floating through time and space, living, dying, whatever, mostly to make sure she saves the Doctor at any point in time and space.
Why?
Because the great intelligence goes into this big giant basically this big giant Tesla coil that is basically the Doctor's timeline, and the great intelligence steps into the Doctor's timeline, and although
so
it kills him, it undoes everything the Doctor's done. So in 50 years, all the goodness and everything the Doctor's done is wiped out. So by her jumping into the same time frame, she resets. My problem with it is it's a lot of the things that happened in the Big Bang, but in a different way. But basically, she jump starts the timeline back to where it's supposed to be. Right. And it was a very clever excuse to use all the footage of the old doctors.
Yeah.
Which they did very well with the William Hartnell doctor. And I had heard about that and I couldn't say anything and it was driving me nuts. Except one time I almost called Lee and I was going to tell her something, but then I realized, no, I will accidentally tell her about Doctor Who. I'm not going to ruin it for her. So, yeah, everyone thought that there would be cameos from the Doctor in the 50th anniversary special, but we got him an episode early. I mean, it's interesting because when you watch it, it's the first time, and I don't know about you, Rox, but it's the first time in a long time that I watched an episode of Doctor Who, and at the end of it just went, holy shit, that was
I
awesome.
Know,
right?
I did. That's what I did.
And then the problem is, as Widge will understand, sometimes you see something you think is the greatest thing in the world, and then you start thinking about it, and then it takes away the luster. So I watched it again.
Oh.
And there's a lot of stuff in it. There's a lot of stuff in it that doesn't make sense, but I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to get picked up because he picks up some of the pieces of previous stories where you're like, that didn't make sense. And he sort of explains some of the things.
Right.
So he's got a plan, and I'm going to stick it out with him. But, after just, I haven't been completely happy with the season because I think it's been kind of lukewarm. But this is everything that a Doctor Who episode is supposed to be. And regardless which of whether or not you like the episode, you have to admit, when you watch the episode, Matt Smith acts his ass off in a way that no other person playing the Doctor has probably ever done on, on screen. I mean, you watch that and you're like, holy fuck, he is acting. I mean, that to me was the most impressive thing about it. I mean, I knew he could act anyway, but he acted his ass off in that. Yeah, it was great. And Vastra and Jenny are great. And Widge, Strax is awesome in it.
Oh my God. You know, that one scene, I love that scene where, you know, he pushes her off when she pleads for him to like save her. And he, that was really cool because he, that's just him. So, you know, just back off, let me do my job. But it was just so great. I'm like, wow, that was so cool.
And having, and this is such a great plot point.
Oh, and actually, here's the cool thing too. They paid tribute to Jack Finney with Somewhere in Time, with the whole time travel has always been possible when you're asleep. So they actually do this, what they call a conference call, where everybody that's in on this so-called, you know, time space.
Like this podcast.
Yeah, like this podcast. We're all asleep, you know, so we can all be here at the same time. And to me, that's a really nice fit of, you know, Somewhere in Time, you know, that Christopher Reeve, it was based on, you know, Jack Finney's story.
Whoa, Rox, wait a minute. Let me see if I understand the gravity of what you're saying here. Are you saying that Lee is a time traveler?
It's scary, I know. Trust me, there's always somebody cleaning up behind
you. Explain the clothes.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I like that idea of like, oh, hey, we can still time travel. This is how we do it. And they meet up in this cool area and stuff. But it's a nice effect without really having to, you know, explain it type of thing.
And they touch on the fact how the Doctor communicates by letters. We kind of get an idea of where he gets that from and how everybody communicates through time and space. Going back even to Echoes of Sally Sparrow.
Yeah.
They managed to do something they didn't do in Angels in Manhattan, and that is they used River Song in just the right way. She wasn't the focus of the plot.
No.
She was involved in it, but she wasn't overused. She wasn't underused. And they gave her a couple great lines, and she got to do her spoiler line, and it was like, I think it's probably one of the best River thing stories we've had in a while, because it's sort of like, let's backtrack, stop, and thinking what we're doing. And it's not River from any of the timelines in the Matt Smith timeline. It's the River from the David Tennant timeline, who's still in the library.
Right. Yes. And that is the cool part is like, yes, the only reason I'm still around is because I'm in the library. So, you know, her body is gone, you know, so all of a sudden it's kind of cool because in that respect, if you look at other really cool way, you know, other sci-fi shows, there's Babylon 5 where you have the guardian of the great machine who can actually, because of this machine, allow his, you know, brain, you know, his essence to travel. And so she has been able to do this, you know,
and the other cool thing that was great about it is, and obviously, if you've never seen Doctor Who, it's great. I had heard that they were going to put Tom Baker in parts of it. But everyone sort of thought, yeah, whatever, what's going to happen, you know? And they used the footage of old Doctors in a very interesting way. Mm-hmm. And they did it in a way that wasn't really crappy. And the Hartnell one was just perfect. They didn't overuse it. They didn't underuse it. And it really played well. They took a clip of Hartnell from the Aztecs and they put it in a scene with Jenna Louise Coleman. And it really worked really well. And the scene with Pertwee was pretty great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but it looked really well. It's the first time probably since Asylum of the Daleks that they did the movie the week format that it actually fit, sort of. Going into it, I'm like, okay, they have 45 minutes, and how much shit do they have to tie up, and how much stuff are they doing? How are they going to get a story with River Song, the great intelligence, and all the stuff with the Doctor, you know? Yeah, and it's really dark. So, I mean, I'm happy with it. But again, at this point, I would have been happy with just a straight, you know, plot story with a beginning, a middle, and the end. And it's like, I think when Stephen Moffat sits down and puts everything aside and focuses on writing a story where he's not distracted, he does a really great job. And I think that's what he did with this.
Well, yeah. He does. He's written, I mean, both the Silence in the Library two-parter and Scandal in Belgravia are so fucking good that I fucking
and
hate
Blink.
Him. Well, Blink's excellent, but to me
Silence is
better. Blink is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but Silence is just so well crafted that I just want to punch him because he just makes the rest of us look bad, you know? It's just so fucking good. It's infuriating.
But the thing that's nice about it is that he's a fan at heart. And when he talks about it, he gets excited. So he's not phoning it in, you know?
No, it's just he's overwhelmed with work.
Yeah, and I think they finally, I think people pulled him aside and said, you need to do this. Like he even said in one of the specials, he wanted to write a story with Jenny and Vastra, but he knew he didn't have time, so he let Mark Gatiss do it. Now, I think, and Rox, you can chime in here, I get the distinct impression that In the Name of the Doctor, the anniversary special, and the Christmas special are all going to flow into each other. And that leads me to believe that if he's writing a story that's a multiple part, like a one, a two, or a three part sort of thing that's sprawled out, he's much better at that than he is a 45-minute episode.
Yes.
So that part of it's kind of interesting.
You know, that goes back to, I've said, you know, I don't know if I really, you know, we have those cliffhanger ones. But, you know, I honestly do miss the longer episodes. You know, because it just seems like they're rushed and stuff.
Yeah, it's like point A, point B, point C. Yeah, and it's not exactly easy. Now, which the other thing you like is they do the most simple. I mean, when you think about it, it's so simple and brilliant that you hit yourself in the head and go, of course he would. And it's great when he executes it. But, if you've got Strax, who's a Santarin, who's a warrior, who has a job as a butler, how is he going to let off steam? And how is he going to get to be a Santarin again? He's going to go to Scotland and do the Scottish games.
Yeah.
That was a really nice touch.
Yes, that was.
You know, and he played the comedy again. I think, as much as I love Nick McIntosh as Vastra, I really think he's the glue that holds all those stories together because they just really flow well. And I like the fact they gave Jenny something to do. And there's a creepy moment, Widge, where Jenny's like, I think I'm being murdered. And that just fucks you up. Because she's at this conference call and she's starting to fade. And Vastra's like, where are you? Like, I think I'm being murdered.
Yes. That is, you know, because people that discuss the, you know, and I'm sure Lee would know this from, you know, having to do with the paranormal stuff, you know, if you're doing that whole astral travel, you know, where your mind goes elsewhere, you know, and your body's vulnerable, that's really freaking scary, you know, that.
Yeah.
And Terry Pratchett actually has a thing about that too. It's like, you know, Granny Weatherwax always has a note saying, I ain't dead, you know, just so people won't do anything when they see her, you know, because she travels in animals type of thing. Her mind does, you know, so she always leaves a note, which, you know, that's a scary thing because all of a sudden you're very vulnerable and stuff. So that was actually a good, I forgot about that. A little bit. I really enjoyed that episode. Go ahead.
I did. I mean, there comes a time when if you, you know, and I like Doctor Who, I've grown up with it, and there comes a time, I mean, I realize at the end of the day, it's just a TV show. Its job is to keep me entertained for 45 minutes to 90 minutes, depending on how long it is. And unless it's really awfully crap, you know, it's doing its job. It is pretty much, I mean, its job is it's a TV show. I mean, and I tend to look at it as, I mean, and I've been getting beat up on the boards. It's like, you know, well, this is like, okay, taken as a piece, of filmed entertainment, did you like it? And at the end of the day, that's how you have to peel away all the plot, peel away all the writing. Did you, was it good enough for 45 minutes to entertain you? And yes, it does that job. It does all the elements it is supposed to do as a television show and as a science fiction show. The other thing I like about it, that I liked about this one and the game and the one before it, is that it actually uses a lot more really sort of what I call out there science fiction than is normally in Doctor Who. And that is, it's like bona fide people that read Bradbury, Arthur C. Clarke, Pratchett, you know, people that have spent time reading science fiction literature. Those elements are seeping into the stories. And I love it when Doctor Who does that, because it's gotten way too soap of the week, and it moved away from that, and that was great. And the Whispermen are kind of interesting. We're going to see a ton of you know, people running around with ski nylon stockings over their face at Dragon Con now, but they were pretty creepy.
We don't already? Wait a minute. I thought we did see that already.
Well, in a completely, they're gonna be borrowing Rox's top hat and tail.
Yes.
You know, and Richard E. Grant was great. You know, my biggest thing is that, you know, I wish we could have seen more of Richard E. Grant during the season, being Richard E. Grant, because he was,
yeah,
really great.
And he had a great,
I mean,
coat.
They totally underused David Warner, and they totally underused Richard E. Grant. But,
see, that's where I think if you had a longer episode, that you can, yeah, draw the action out, because on the older shows, I mean, if you look at like Genesis of the Daleks, which I think is a great episode, you know, you had a lot of buildup from other characters, such as, you know, the mutant people and Sarah, yeah, Jane, as they're, you know, they're talking about stuff as they're fueling this giant rocket that they're gonna go and destroy the Thals and stuff. So,
yeah,
there's these, it's like, yeah, we can do that, but okay, we're gone. You know, it's like the blind woman. What episode was that? And
Crimson Terror.
Yeah. It's like these connections aren't, you know, there's no real full development of some of the characters and stuff.
Yeah, it's all very hurried. Now, yeah. Rich, how much of the season have you seen?
I just finished the Scooby-Doo episode.
Okay, did you like it?
Yeah, it was all right. It was okay. Uneven. The love story bit was forced. The doctor and the companion were way too fucking cute for my tastes, and
yeah,
the scary bits were actually well done. The monster
was
great.
Did you like it? Did you like Cold War?
I thought it was. I mean, again, it was all right.
Okay. The thing that I think I liked about this one is that they're finally starting to write the companion. They've sort of finally figured out what the companion is and what she's doing. And I think that probably the last two episodes between the Gaiman story and this one, they finally have found her tempo. And they're really starting to write better. But I think she's got much more potential than Amy Pond as a companion. So, and the dynamic with her and Matt Smith seems much more natural than it did with Amy.
Well, so, I hope so, because right now it's just annoying the shit out of me. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, you guys are too fucking cute. You're not supposed to be that fucking cute. Oh, we're here.
Yeah.
We're the Ghostbusters. I'm like, no, you're fucking not.
Well, but you have to understand, Widge, that going back to the classic series, the Doctor and Companion were always pretty cute in the classic series. At times, it was really annoying.
Well, but see,
so that's kind of a throwback.
Well, yeah, but see, we've evolved as a species.
I know.
And, okay.
I know. But they're also trying to do nods to the old show. So that's part of, you know.
Well, they can stop at any
year,
time. They can stop any time.
Yeah. And Moffat has said that he's going to take it in a whole new direction next year and that, you know, the soap of the week stuff's ending. So we'll see what happens.
Well, but see, here's the difference. Like, for example, oh, we're the Ghostbusters. That's too fucking cute, and I want to slap you. And Dr. What? Oh, well, if you like. You know, it's like, okay, that's good. I'm like, finally, somebody's doing a joke about your name that doesn't make me want to fucking kill every single person involved with this fucking show.
Yeah.
So. But going back to what you said about Matt Smith acting, Matt Smith is great. And the thing I love about Matt Smith, as I've said before, is that, and this harkens back to what it sounds like you guys have said the Doctor is all about, which is, ha ha, I'm so goofy and funny, I will fucking end you. It's like, I love that. That to me is great. I love characters that use their goofiness and aloofness to hide the fact that they're badasses.
And he does that. The second Doctor did it really well, and near the end of the McCoy Doctor, he did it really well. And it's really weird when you watch him, when you watch the new, at Dragon Con, I watched the new episode of Doctor Who sitting next to Sylvester McCoy, and he leans next to me. I'm sorry, next to John's good friend, Sylvester McCoy. Not Shag's.
Yes.
But John's good friend, Sylvester McCoy.
He and I go way back, all the way back to about 3 minutes of interaction.
Exactly. But still, it doesn't hurt. But
he is a time traveler, so those 3 minutes lasted a long time.
Yes.
But it was so great, because Sylvester McCoy is basically, like, just awesome all the time. And he leans over, and he's telling the people around him, he got that from me. And he's like, I should be getting paid for that. You know, and you watch it, and you're like, okay, they're basically ripping off the second Doctor's fifth season and the last season of Sylvester McCoy, and that's their Doctor. But, you know, they both were like, both the second and the seventh Doctor were really sort of whimsical and silly, and then just could turn at the drop of a hat. And the best stories this season with Matt Smith have been the ones where he is either just one way or the other, where he's really dark, or when he's silly and frivolous. Like in Dinosaurs on the Spaceship, he's just totally, he's like a little kid having fun, and it's believable. But you watch Cubed, he's like, I don't like this. This is bad. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And you see some of that sort of evolving then. You see a lot of it in the Cybermen episode, and then this one, it just gets really, really, really dark. And the cracks thing is happening again, which is kind of annoying me, but I'm willing to see where this is going.
He's back on crack? What are you saying?
No, remember the crack? Now they had the cracks in his first season. There's a crack in Amy's wall.
Right.
There's a couple times this season where you see the crack again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
And everyone knows crack kills.
Now, have...
And it is also whack.
In what episodes? Episodes I haven't seen yet?
The one about the TARDIS.
Oh, Center of the TARDIS?
The Salvage. Yeah.
That's the next one. Okay. And what's the other one?
I thought there was one, the Cyberman one, and I think there was one in... the Asylum of the Daleks, but I might be wrong. I think. But, and then they're doing... They haven't explained the whole flickering light thing yet, and they haven't explained the whole... Which I'm assuming is tied into the anniversary special, the whole thing with roses. Because there's a couple episodes where there's references to Rose, where she's either got a rose in her hair, she's carrying roses, she works at a bar that's called something or other Rose, you know. So, the building... This is going to get really interesting, and, you know... Maybe with putting John Hurt in is the best thing that happened, because John Hurt, basically the script was written with Eccleston included. He said no. Moffat couldn't think of anything, and then apparently he woke up in the middle of the night with his idea and rewrote the whole part, and he called John Hurt the next day because he was the first person he thought of to do it. And apparently John Hurt said, "You're calling me? Really? Okay, sure." And he's donated, you know, he donated his equity fee just to be in Doctor Who, which makes him awesome. And I think there's a lot to look forward to with the special. But again, I wouldn't want to be Stephen Moffat right now for the simple reason that no matter what he does with the anniversary special, he can't win. Somebody's going to be pissed. Somebody's going to be mad. You know, even the old Doctors have said, we would love to be in it. But really, at the end of the day, there's not really a way that makes sense for us to do it as the Doctors, so we completely understand. You know, I mean, really the only two that could do it with any semblance of who they look like was Davison and McCoy, unless they use a ton of digital effects, you know. I think he's going to try to do the best he can, but I think no matter what, people are going to be pissed off at him. And there's a whole nother, I don't know if you saw this, Rox, or not, but there's a bunch of people that are pissed because when they showed the Who's the Doctor, the Doctor Revisited episode with Earthshock, they're showing the Doctor Revisited, and they keep talking about Adric dying in Earthshock before the episode aired.
Oh.
So all these people are like, hey, wait a minute, you've spoiled the episode for us. I'm like, I'm sorry, this episode was from 1982 or 1981, and you're worried about a spoiler? Really? But, yeah, so I'm not upset. I mean, overall, the season was kind of disappointing. And, I mean, the Angels in Manhattan, as excited as everyone was for it, completely tanked.
Yeah.
So using this as a measuring stick, this is the other end of the Angels in Manhattan spectrum, and that it was clever, it was inventive, it used some really great elements of science fiction, which after you see it, there's a deleted scene you should see because it explains one of the things. They also kind of tie, Rox, did you get the feeling that Lawrence is Jack the Ripper, or Clarence is Jack the Ripper?
Yes.
I kind of got that too. Because they've had this subtle Jack the Ripper thing going in, which is the other thing they're wondering if it's a plot point, because they've been bringing in this sort of Jack the Ripper element into some of the parts of the stories, and then there's a guy in the story that say, well, he murdered, blah, 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 he doesn't deserve a pardon.
Right.
So I'm glad someone else picked up on that. I'm like, wait a minute. And it's interesting, too, because the Whisperman song is the same pitch and tempo as the Doctor song from earlier in Matt Smith thing where they have the cute little jingle. That got kind of annoying, but that's okay. But all in all, take it as entertainment. You know, I just watched that and I'm like, oh my God, this is like, this is awesome, you know? And it was great because I'm like, I have to watch this again. And so that's when Jana could watch it. She's like, oh my God, this is awesome. I'm like, I know, you know? And it's also a great jumping on point for if you're watching Doctor with people that have seen a little of the classic series, but not much, because you can say, oh, that's this doctor, this doctor, this doctor, this doctor. That's who they are. You see them, but you don't have to get lost in their whole backstory.
Yeah.
Too. So, but all in all, it was, as a finale, it was nice. Trenzalore is interesting. I got the opinion that that might have been the last battlefield for the Time War. The idea of the Doctor's tomb is actually pretty brilliant. And I like what they did with the actual TARDIS. We're like, well, that kind of makes sense. When a TARDIS dies, it leaks out of it becomes bigger. That's pretty great. Except it looked like Deep Thought from Hitchhikers, but that's okay.
Yeah, it was almost like too big.
Yeah.
In a way.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff with River we don't know. So I think we're guaranteed to see River at least one or two more times.
Yeah.
So. There you go.
Well, I shall have to watch it.
Rox, are they still awake?
I'm here.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm eating a donut. I don't care.
I would just like to point out that drunk Aaron is a fixed point in time and cannot be changed.
he's several fixed points in time.
Yes,
in fact, he might be all of time.
Oh, well, I can't make that joke right now, but I will make it later.
Drunk Aaron is bigger on the inside.
He is very tiny on the outside.
That's very true. And very susceptible
soft
to sunburn.
Oh my God. What was he thinking?
Well, let's see. Hold on a second. Let's just analyze what he did. He sat outside for 4 hours.
4 hours.
Even I, as a Floridian, do not go outside for 4 hours without some sort of protection.
See, I just don't go outside.
Do you know how
I don't
get
go
my
inside
lovely
without some sort of protection?
Glow, what? My lovely tan glow. An
uranium.
No.
Chernobyl.
No, I set.
Dead hobos.
I actually set. No. I set an alarm. I go out and read for an hour. An hour. That's it.
You know what? You know what the what your skin turning brown is, really, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's mutation.
Yeah.
It's your cells mutating.
Uh huh.
So you are a mutant.
I don't care. I look good with a tan.
You look good without a tan.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Okay.
Whatever.
Wow, wow.
I know.
I thought I heard boob.
That's the writers trying to inject some sexual tension into the show, Wins. Didn't you read the script?
Damn.
That wasn't me.
Sorry, Doc.
Just take it off and fuck me. That was me.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers. That's a future me traveling back in time.
The Mon from
an episode called The Big Bang.
Oh.
I'm sorry, The Big Bang.
Well, it's reason that it's called The Little Bang.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the mini bang.
No, it's the big bang in the little box.
Oh, crap. I missed it. I missed my cue.
Can I make a uterus joke now? The uterus at the end of the galaxy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What, Rob, are you trying to imply that her uterus is a pocket universe?
No.
Okay, good.
Harder,
only
harder,
because I fear
oh
for my,
my
life.
Well, so should we all. Because just like a pocket universe, inside her uterus, the entropy would drain your battery, and you would die.
Is your uterus like a TARDIS?
Yes, but also no.
It's bigger on the inside.
But if it's blue, then you probably need to put on some more clothes.
Oh, girl,
see a doctor quickly.
Who?
Yes.
No, oh, doctor, I want to punch you.
Dr. Quickly from the Silver Age DC Universe. You know, he was with Quality Comics and then DC bought them.
Ouch.
He was in the Freedom Fighters for like 3 issues. Showed up in the background of an episode of All Star Squadron. I'm sorry,
thanks,
I'm stopped.
Sheldon.
Oh my god.
Paul Sheldon, what?
He said call Sheldon.
Oh.
No, I said thanks, Sheldon.
Said, thanks, Sheldon.
Thanks. Oh, all right. I never watched that show.
What, Big Bang
That's
Theory?
Okay.
Yes.
I've tried, because everyone keeps telling me that it is an awesome show and really funny and everything. And every time I watch them, like, this is some of the most horrid acting and
you know, the weird thing
I've heard.
Is the people that watch it are, like, people that are self-professed non-geeks.
Except that people like Shag like it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, wait. Hold on, wait. Let me, a clarification. Actually, Serve likes it. Shag, wait, which one does?
I don't
know. One of the two. One of the two.
Shag's the one that's not friends with Sylvester McCoy.
One of these two. Oh.
Yes, that is true.
That's
Sylvester
funny.
McCoy will not give him the time of day.
Wow.
And he's a time traveler, so that's saying something.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
He's like, be gone. I don't have time for you.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, speaking of not having time, we should probably mosey in the direction of recommendations since it is about that time. So that being said, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Rox!
I got the latest Vampire Weekend album. I liked it. Get it. It's fun. Also...
Oh, wait. No, you're not done?
No,
okay.
Not done yet. I can't really discuss music. It's a nice album. I like it. What else did I get? Oh, the Daft Punk... what is it? Access Memory?
Random Walk? Access Memories.
Yeah, that's not too bad. It's not dancey, but it seems... A lot of bands are doing like this introspective type of music. Have you noticed that, Rob? You know, with David Bowie's album, you know, it's like they're all getting older. So it's like, oh, let's do something a little bit more serious and stuff. So Vampire Weekend album's kind of a little on the more, it doesn't have the poppiness like Contra had or the first album. But it's still good. I like it. The Daft Punk one is also good. And, okay, it's summer. It's time for fun read or happy, stupid fun read. And normally I went.
Hey, Rock.
What? Yes.
You built the Daft Punk robot suits, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Okay. Oh,
no,
okay.
No, at the time, her company was busy building that city on rock and roll.
Yeah, that must sub too.
Sorry.
Ow.
Sorry, Jefferson Airship.
Ooh, yeah, Jefferson Airplane. It was a Jenny. So anyway, normally I read like non-fiction during the summer, but anyway,
I think Dan Brown does what the Olympics does. I think he goes to host cities and see on who wants to be in his book. I swear to God, because all of his books are travel books. Forget the idea. It's like a travel book wrapped in a mystery written by a man that doesn't really write well. So, yeah. So the last book was The Lost Symbol. So if you want, that is a travel book about Washington, D.C. So you can find out all about the really weird things of what Masons did and stuff like that.
Hey, now, don't be dissing my Masons.
No, however,
all right.
it sells tourist books, okay? Dan yes. Brown can sell a city. I'm waiting for the city of Denver to say, please, 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 we have a secret somewhere there, Dan Brown. Please put us in your book. I'm waiting for cities to start bidding. You know, please put us in your book. This deals with Florence because it's called Inferno. And I read a couple reviews. The Guardian just tore it to crap, tore it to shreds. Apparently, I think maybe in their book, Dan wrote, apparently he doesn't know the difference between palette and palette. They wanted to know how ultramarine blue tastes like. He spelled it P-A-L-A-T-E, meaning taste, meaning which what he really meant to write was palette, P-A-L-A-T-T-E, which is the artist thing that you mix paint on. So anyway, it is a travel book about Florence and Dante's Inferno. And apparently the World Health Organization has its own army. So we need to ask Lee, does the CDC have its own SWAT team?
Yeah, and Lee's in charge of it.
Yes, I'm sure. So it's funny in the fact that, you know, apparently all the action takes place in 24 hours. What?
He's writing for Jack Bauer now?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. This guy, I just saw an article, I'll have to read it, where Dan Brown is one of those people that is, you know, he writes a book and yet it automatically goes into some sort of pop culture phenomenon, yeah. Such as the, you know, the Da Vinci Code, which was, oh my God, that was such crap. And I'm sorry, yeah. the Lost Symbol was just like, I haven't gotten to a point that really stuck out for me just yet in the Inferno, but I was posting comments as I was listening to it because it was just so bizarrely crazy. And like I said, if anything, there are people going around in cities because there are Da Vinci Code tours
yep.
now yep. still going on in Paris. So I'm sure that Florence, after that horrible, well, I don't know. I did like Hannibal, the movie. Apparently, they hated that. Florence hated that film. So hopefully when they film this one, it'll get a reprieve and people will start going to Florence because Dan Brown put it on the map.
Well, now, what is it? It's that, hang on. Yeah, the... I will say, it's a monster. The Monster Florence. If you want to go to Florence, don't read The Monster Florence before you go to Florence.
Yeah,
because yeah. you will not want this. To go. Okay. You will not want to go to fucking Italy.
Right. Yes.
That's a okay. freaky damn book.
So it's sort of funny, and certain things out of it. It's like, all right, in the defense of what's his name that wrote. You know, the Hannibal books.
Thomas Harris.
You know, it's sort of funny. As he makes up with the character Dr. Fell, he has to present a discussion on some sort of historic thing. And it's obscure. And yet,
yeah.
Dan Brown knows that he has to present information to regular people that have never read Dante's Inferno or anything about Italian art history and stuff like that. He sets his character, Robert Langdon, to go to this really pissy exclusive discussion, and he presents the most basic thing you could look up in Wikipedia. It's like,
I know.
I know he has to do this. However, you know, here's a guy that's supposed to be exclusive. I'm an exclusive professor. You know, give us a little bit of, you know, something. But it's, you know, for those of us that have eaten, you know, read, slept, whatever, you know, art history and stuff, it's just, you know, it's disappointing in a way. But again, I'm reading it because it's funny. It's a travel book, because if anything, he does do the minutia of the city. It's like, see, this is the stuff I found out. You too can go to, you know, Paris, because I just found it and I'm putting it on the map.
So, oh, Rox, you've not given me idea for the zine. Thank you.
Okay. For Crimes and Misdemeanors, the new volume. And I am done.
All right, cool. Thank you, Rox. All right, Rob, what you got?
Well, first I want to say this week, we've talked a lot about Doctor Who, the Blu-rays for both the 2012 Christmas special and the second part of Season 7 are both out on Blu-ray this week. So if you want to see those, they're pretty skimpy on extras, but you could buy them if you are so inclined, or just wait till the big box comes out. But those are out. And I know Rox mentioned Italy, and I want to mention this book called Saving Italy. Basically, this guy was a very well-off sort of working professional, and he started reading about the work of the Monuments Men and decided that that's what he wanted to do. So this book is all about saving and finding specifically these art treasures that were looted from Italy during World War II. And other art treasures by the Nazis. Sort of like the Rape of Europa book that came out a couple of years ago,
but a
little more focused on Italy. Because a lot of like really wonderful Italian Renaissance art, they go into these Italian palaces and they just take everything out and they don't know where any of it is. So they're trying to find, there's stuff from Pompeii that's gone. There's stuff from like Naples. There's things from, there's Da Vinci manuscripts that are gone. There's all these incredible pieces of art that are gone. That they're trying to find. So I do want to recommend that. It's actually pretty interesting. And, yeah, I kind of love these sort of, like, you know, art books that talk about sort of the history of art, but not the art history stuff you get in college, sort of moving beyond it and why it's interesting and why it does, you know, everything that it does. And this is sort of one of those. You don't have to know a whole ton about art to really like it, but you just sort of get a really good perspective of what's going on in the world. I do also want to recommend 2012. I know I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it's still great if you were a fan of The Office. I think I talked about it a little bit. It came out last year. It has David Tennant narrating it, so that alone is probably worth it for some folks. But also Hugh Bonneville, and it's kind of like done in the style of The Office, but it's basically about organizing the 2012 Olympics in London, and it's quite fun. So I do still recommend that. I don't know if I recommended that last week or not. So if I did, I double apologize and please forgive me. And I know Rox mentioned the Daft Punk record, so I will not mention that. But I do want to mention the 10th anniversary album. I can't believe this record is 10 years old. I feel old now, but it's the 10th anniversary of Interpol's Turn on the Bright Lights. And they've released a 2-disc reissue of it with extra tracks and demos and neato cool stuff like that. So I do recommend that. It's pretty great. So that's all I got.
Thanks. All right, cool. Thanks, Rob. All right, John, what you got?
Well, Rob, if you want to feel old, I think I mentioned this before, but sports, Huey Lewis in the News Sports is 30 years old, so there you go.
Yeah, they're reissuing that, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're actually out on tour. It's kind of interesting what they did with that album is they're reissuing it, you're right. But they're also doing it, it's like a 2-CD set, and it has sports with recorded live from different venues throughout the years. So one's in a different venue. And they actually are on tour, and what they're doing is they're playing sports end to end, and then they're doing another 2 hours worth of music after that. So
that's awesome.
So they've been around. It's interesting to I was listening to, I think it was on Mark Maron's podcast, I was listening to an interview with Huey Lewis, and just hearing the history of him and his and the band, and how he wound up where he was actually really, really cool. And the fact that their keyboard...
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he does. He's just a genuine sort of guy that's just happy to be where he's at type thing. The keyboardist for the... I should know his name. Actually did play keys on the first Elvis Costello album. So, and he was actually... He knew him at the time. I should really know what his name is, but... he knew him at the time, and he came back and he said, Huey Lewis was saying that, he gives him credit for being one of the first guys to tell him that, this guy is going to be huge. And, he said, this guy, he just has something. Elvis Costello has that just something about him. And speaking of which, my recommendation, and I actually do have one, cause it's, that kind of got me back into the vibe of listening to something I hadn't listened to since, high school, which for me is late 80s, and that's John Hiatt.
He's really good.
He's fucking phenomenal. And the thing is about him, there's this joke about trying to clear movie rights, songs from movie rights, or clear songs from movies, and that Neil Diamond has pretty much written everything. Which is why everything costs so much to clear. But John Hyatt is one of those guys that he has had his own career to a certain extent, and he has his own following, but he's more of a guy that gets his songs covered by everybody else. And I was just looking at this list here up on Wikipedia, which is always right. And just to name a few folks that have covered him, Bob Dylan, Three Dog Night, Joan Baez, Paula Abdul, Buddy Guy, Iggy Pop, Mandy Moore, Joe Cocker. I mean, the list goes on and on. People that have covered his songs. And so what I would suggest is head out to Amazon and pick up The Best of John Hiatt, which covers, what does it cover up to? Probably early 90s, I guess. But there's songs on here that you've heard other people sing. His probably most famous song is Have a Little Faith in Me, only because it was on several soundtracks, but, Thing Called Love, which was covered by Bonnie Raitt, most famously. Angel Eyes, which is covered by, help me out here. John Healy Band. Jeff Healy. Jeff Healy. Thank you. Not John Hiatt. Jeff Healy. Jeff Healy. John Hiatt. Those are probably songs that you'll recognize that you've heard, heard sung by other people, famously. But he's got a lot of great. One of my favorite tunes of his that since I've been re-listening to is a Perfectly Good Guitar, which basically. Tells it's a love story for guitars and why do people just destroy them on stage. So that's it. Check out John Hiatt. A lot of people don't know who he is, he has his own huge following, but for the most part people don't know who he is but have heard his songs. The Best of John Hiatt, available on Amazon Prime and Amazon Prime now, or Amazon rather, and Prime, does this thing where if you buy the CD, many of the CDs, you get auto rip, so you can get the MP3s for free. So it's pretty cool. I am done, and bong.
Bong it is.
So head out to Amazon, and however you get there. I forgot to throw it over to you, Widge. I forget how to get there, so you have to tell me, Widge.
That's okay. I picked up your bong, and I ran with that. and I mean that in a purely platonic sense. Basically,
servant proud.
Yes. Yes. 44. So basically, if you want to buy any of the stuff that we've talked about on Amazon, if you were going to buy something anyway, even if you just were going to go do your shopping at Amazon like most civilized people do, because really, if you go out in the world, there's like sunlight and people, and who wants any of that? If you go to the front page of needcoffee.com, you'll find an Amazon search bar thing off to the right-hand side of pretty much every page on the site. And if you search on that, whatever you buy in that session, we get kickbacks for. And it's even easier. You don't even have to come. We want you to come to Need Coffee. Don't get me wrong. We want you there because we like you. But if you're pressed for time, just bookmark needcoffee.com/Amazon. And when you follow that URL, it will take you to the front page of Amazon like you haven't actually come through us, but you have come through us. And thus, we get kickbacks for anything you buy in that session. So we see those of you who do that. It helps out a great deal, and we thank you. And please keep doing so and convince others to do so. Because the more people we send over there, the more kickbacks we get on multiple levels. So,
Hey, and Widge, if you know a friend that's using Chrome, if you keep going to needcoffee.com/Amazon, eventually it becomes one of those squares, and it just looks like it's Amazon, so they'll just click on it anyway. So just hijack your friend's browser. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan too. And fly it to Cuba. Now I want to recommend, I believe it's out this week, the unabridged new expanded audiobook edition of World War Z, which has the rest of the stuff in it.
Ooh, just in time for the movie.
Yes. So what I would say is whatever money you were going to spend on going to go see the movie, instead spend on this audiobook. Because there are no rubbery zombies in the audiobook. There's actually a series of really great stories based in a zombie mythos that will blow your mind. As opposed to the movie, which based on everything that I've seen about it, will only blow your mind that it got financing. So.
Well, Brad Pitt's in it, so.
And you know what? I really appreciate that Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio both dug the idea so much that they went into a bidding war over it. they did. And I mean, that's great. But what they've done to the story is just absolutely
no.
Shit.
When I was reading the story, and as people can listen to in the audiobook, I certainly pictured Brad Pitt as the lead guy.
Well, but I mean, part of the deal is it doesn't matter who the lead guy is because he's the interviewer.
Yes, I know.
But see, here's the thing: I can see Brad Pitt doing that role because Brad Pitt doesn't always have to be Brad Pitt. I mean, the thing I like about Pitt is that, you know, starting with 12 Monkeys, he basically said, yeah, I'll go do fucking anything. I mean, you know, he can be pretty Brad Pitt and then he can turn around and be Fight Club Brad Pitt. So I really respect his choices, but this, I just go,
not this choice.
Well, and you know, I'm like, I don't even know how much of it's his fault, you know, because it, really the idea of doing this as a movie doesn't make any sense. Anyway,
should have been a miniseries.
A series of miniseries, where you could have different directors doing different feature length TV movies based around individual stories. And you could bring in other people to do their own stories that would be utterly original, but set in the same world, and it would work.
HBO is too busy financing behind the candelabra. Behind the obra?
Whatever. I guess.
Yep.
I guess. I don't know. But no, the readers on it, as we've discussed previously, are pretty amazing. And the stories are excellent. And it's a really great read and a really great listen. So again, you know, I'm going to go see the film. If for some reason it's amazing, believe me, I will come back and tell you. But for the most part, it looks like ass. It looks like 12 miles of ass. So take whatever money you were going to spend and instead go get the audiobook. You'll be much, much happier.
Well, the reality is it looks like just a typical action thriller, when the book deserves so much more than that.
No, I think you're giving it too much credit, actually, John. I think it looks like a shitty action thriller, because a typical action thriller wouldn't have had rubbery CG zombies.
You know, I have not seen any of the zombies yet.
Watch the trailer. Anything that doesn't look like it's actually there, that's a zombie.
I watched the trailer in front of Star Trek. Oops. I just dropped my knife. As you often hear on Weekend Justice, I've just dropped my knife. They really didn't show any. It's funny because I actually I told my son to cover his eyes. I said, because he probably doesn't want to see this once I realized what was going on. Except for the audio was way worse than anything that was going on the screen.
Well, it's just like, they showed plenty of zombies. There were zombies all over the helicopter that took it down.
Did they? Because I really couldn't make anything out. It just looked like blobs.
Exactly. Thank you. There you go, John. Okay.
Well, I guess.
Those are your zombies. They're CG rubbery zombies. Thus, they look like blobs. It looks fucking awful. It makes the CG non-vampires of I Am Legend look like genius.
Still have not seen I Am Legend.
Save it and watch The Omega Man instead.
Yeah.
Or rewatch Cabin in the Woods.
Yes, or just rewatch The Avengers. In fact, that's usually my answer to pretty much anything. Just rewatch The Avengers. So World War Z, skip the movie, catch the audiobook. It's your friend. There you go.
Nice.
So, there you go. On that rubbery, blobby bombshell, I think it's time to draw another sprawling Weekend Justice episode to a close. And I think just like every 2 weeks when we come together and convene here in the Hall of Weekend Justice, we take this moment when all is said and done, and we're looking at the ashes of these 3 hours that we've spent. So glad we spent this time together, you know, as the song goes. And I think we just take that moment and we sort of stare at each other in disbelief and we say, candelabra.
Candelabra.
Which is Lumiere's superhero name.
Just hit me in the head.
Candelabra, boing. El Cambly.
Yes, El Candelabra.
That's harder to say than you think it is, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
Would it be La Candelabra?
Why? Yeah. Why, Widge? Sexist?
Sexist?
No, it's that's me using my Spanish minor for once. And by that, I mean M-I-N-O-R, not M-I-N-E-R.
Oh, what? Oh, you mean you have a little Spanish child in your house?
No. That's about the what is it? Isn't it? They're making a film about the Spanish miners, the 33 Spanish miners with Antonio Banderas. I think that's right.
Yep.
Are they going to film it at the new Disney World dwarf mining thing? Dwarf miner thing.
Whoa! They're mining for dwarves?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing.
Holy shit!
Well, you know they need to find them somewhere.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't just grow on trees. Typically, they grow under trees.
Wow. Like truffles?
Mm-hmm. That's how you find them.
Truffles
ask
and tribbles.
Ask a gypsy. Just ask a gypsy.
Really? Should you really ask a gypsy, Rox? Is that wise?
No. It really isn't.
Never ask a gypsy anything.
I know. Unless they offer you food at a gypsy funeral. You never refuse food from a gypsy if they offer it to you.
Unless they're trying to make you thinner.
What if it's a pie?
It was Popeyes. Wasn't
No. I'm saying so Rox, this is an important safety tip. If an old gnarled gypsy walks up to me and offers me pie, am I supposed
to
accept?
From town, here is some pie.
No, seriously, am I supposed to accept it? I mean, everything I've read says no.
I know you have to look at the pie. If it's seething, well, then no. But if it looks like an apple pie from KFC or, you know, Popeyes or McDonald's, it's okay.
But see, Rox, here's my question. Let's say you were going to make...
Those are some lazy gypsies, by the way.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Redo that. You redo that curse thing. Here, oh, we need some pies, little lady from McDonald's. And then they put the curse on one of those horrible apple pies from McDonald's. That would be hilarious.
But see, Rox, here's my question. Uh-huh. Let's say you were going to create a pie that you were going to curse me with.
Okay.
Would it really be so obvious as to seethe? Wouldn't you have a stealth pie?
Of course.
A pie which that sounds, you eat and you don't really even know.
Pornographic.
Oh my, no, for you, Widge, it would be a voodoo donut.
Oh, my weakness, no.
Yes, you have to know your target.
No.
That's how that goes, people.
Widge, don't eat that. It's seething. Fuck it. It's a voodoo donut. I got to eat it.
Unfortunately. Right.
Look, it's got bacon. Oh, my God. That's all you hear is a pie. But no, it's seething. It's got bacon. You would eat it.
Oh, my weakness.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Rox, you are so evil. I'm so glad you're on our side, sort of.
I'm trying to look to see if they have a...
I'm so glad you're at least kind of on our side.
Looking to see if they have an apple pie donut.
Oh.
They do have a Tang donut. That's pretty evil.
Mango Tango?
Yeah, it's pretty evil.
And I did like those Sublime... Hey, are they ever going to put that footage of that taste testing that we had? Who has that?
That would be me, and perhaps...
Really?
Perhaps one of the buttons didn't get pressed to record.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me!
I am not.
Oh my God, John.
I wish I was.
All right, John, here's the weird thing.
The stationary...
You spend a lot of money going to Dragon Con, carting around heavy equipment.
The stationary camera was never started. All I have is the walk-around camera.
Oh, so that means we get to redo this.
If
JJ would be so kind and bring us some donuts.
Oh, wait.
This is just a plan to get donuts.
I see what you're on to.
Apple fritter. Apple fritter.
I'm totally behind this.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
You need that footage.
Fucking
so
voodoo donuts.
We need to do one every day, because I keep forgetting to press record.
You know what, John? I've got a great idea. Fuck your 60 days of Dragon Con. Let's do 60 days of donuts.
Oh, my God.
That's actually not a bad idea. You know what, Widge?
What?
Let's do that. That's a plan.
60 days of donuts.
There's got to be a specialty donut place everywhere, right? There's plenty of them around you, right?
What? Don't you have strippers delivering donuts down in Tampa?
Well... I'm just saying I can help out with this. I can do one down here. You can do one from up there.
Oh, we don't. All we got is crappy cream, Krispy Kreme, whatever. No, I don't like those. They're not
really
special. Yeah.
Well, they're not special, but they are crack induced.
Oh.
I love the
I'm
white
a Dunkin'
Donut
person. Yeah. Really? Yeah.
I like the, well, you know what this, donut that we've baked in sugar needs? It needs to be glazed with sugar. I really appreciate how Krispy Kreme is really the American way.
They're doubling down on the sugar.
Yeah, which is the only thing now is you need to deep fry it.
Widge.
And add bacon. What?
Widge,
yes.
You don't know this, but gypsies own Krispy Kreme and they hooked you all. Just saying. It's their revenge on the white man from town. Just saying. Just saying.
Fatter!
yeah. On that note.
And here's Wilfred Brimley to tell you what you've
won. Oh, jeez.
You won diabetic medicine. Ha, ha, ha. We can deliver to your house.
Hey, where'd you start?
What, are you talking into a bottle now?
Yes, for that Wilford Brimley type of voice.
Of course, because Wilford Brimley talks from within a helmet. Of course.
Because, you know, it's 11:30, people.
Wilford Brimley is Dark Helmet. What the fuck?
Well, he did play the post office general on Seinfeld, so.
Hey, Rox.
Yes?
Hey, Rox, I'm feeling fine now. I just want to come back inside the camp. Okay. I just want to come back inside the camp. I'm sorry I flipped out. I'm fine now. Everything's fine.
Okay. I don't know. He had to pass through the gypsy camp first.
There you go. Gypsies versus the Thing.
I know. Who would
win? Who would win?
Jinx!
Oh, shit. I think it's time to run away.
I think so.
We've been eating too many cursed donuts.
Yeah.
All right. Running away now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Perhaps I should have pressed record on this one.
Oh, fucker.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Can I say something?
No!
No.
Okay.